between the lines that lie on the pages that I've shed. I met the walking Jew religious in his worn-out cowboy boots. He walked like no man on earth. I swear he had no name. I swear he had no name. Come on down and meet your maker. Come on down and make the stand. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down and make the stand.
Live from the 1480 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo and Gregory Isaac, and Eric Reinert, behind the glass.
Behind the glass.
So, Joseph, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Well,
oh, there I am. I have to turn myself on. Yes, up, I mean.
You just have to trust me, Dave, that you are live.
I know.
Dave, for about six years, we've gone over this. And you screwed up yesterday, too. That's why you won't be hosting much more. My name is Greg Isaac.
What did I say?
You said Gregory. I have never used that name.
I thought it was official.
No, reason I bring this up is because we talk about it for 6 years. Other people have said, hey, you're calling him the wrong name. Stop. So I'm going to leave it at that. Please get it right.
Greg Adams in the studio with us.
I don't mind if you get the last name wrong. I don't care about that. But the first name, okay? There's a huge difference there.
That's a good point.
Being that you're
if Eric
related.
Gets it wrong, it's okay. If Joseph gets it wrong, it's okay.
Well, Greg gets my last name wrong.
What? Reinhard?
No, Reinert. Reinert.
Oh, Reinert.
See?
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so how are you, Joseph?
I'm doing great. I'm running on 3 hours of sleep right now. I'll tell you about that
in just a
moment.
The bar
Have been some good stuff.
Yeah, there's some stuff to talk about here. But first, to let you know, that was The Alarm bringing us into the show.
One of my favorite 80s bands.
Yeah, The Stand, right?
Is that part of a woman's dress on your back?
What? No, what?
Kidding.
What is it? Okay, I get it.
Yeah, now yeah. I get it.
Again,
right?
3 hours.
Funny, Eric?
I didn't understand it.
Yeah, you'll understand it in a minute.
Yeah,
I'm running on 3 hours of sleep, and I didn't even get it.
Oh, you're going to tell us.
That's what I'm saying.
There was some fun, but that song was The Stand by The Alarm. Dom Hemingway is the movie that we'll be talking about in this first segment. It's we're kind of celebrating these thief movies, these safe-cracking movies. We've seen them all. We'll be talking about them all throughout the show, all the different safe-cracking movies that we've seen. I know that you've probably seen a few.
In my time, yes.
Yes, there's good
ones. Over the years.
Like Ocean's 11.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that one.
The only one I can think of is Tower High stuff.
We've got that one covered today as well.
Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. And the one with the heist, Gene Hackman.
Yeah. Well, we're not talking about the heist, but that's another one. Yeah, there's a lot of
them. Is that a 70s movie?
Which one?
The one you just mentioned, The Heist. Is that a 70s movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
I think I've seen that one.
Yeah,
I thought
it was Day.
Well, no, I think actually it was later. I think it was probably the 90s. It was a more recent.
70s, 90s,
yeah,
no difference.
It's all the same for Dave.
Yeah, it's a blur to me.
Yeah.
But life is a blur.
Yes.
But it's all in honor of Dom Hemingway. It played at the Phoenix Film Festival, and I know that you saw it.
Yes.
I saw it. We both have our reviews. I'm curious if we agree or disagree.
I'm going to say I won't say yet.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. But so it's our safe cracking show. A little bit later on in our second hour, we have on a real life safe cracker. Don't worry. It's all legal. He does the legal kind of safe cracking.
What's a legal type of safe cracking?
When you forget your combination and you need somebody to come in and open your safe.
Or you find a safe right in the middle of your truck that you just took from someone's house.
That's not legal.
Oh, Dave. That's not legal.
No.
Oh.
Do you want to? We need a lawyer on as well, maybe?
Yeah, we need. That's true. I know some attorneys,
yes.
And I'm not afraid to use them.
Who doesn't?
Okay. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right. America. We got
a dime a dozen.
Everywhere. In yes. America. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Well, again, I'm on 3 hours of sleep right now because I went to another one of my infamous bar crawls, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go to these, Eric says it's...
I know, still don't know
how often you go,
but I enjoy listening.
It's just a party. I don't drink. I don't, and it's very fortunate
very
considering
good.
I have a headache right now, and my eyes are bloodshot, and
you
my
do have
voice
a headache?
Is gone. Yeah. But I, like I said, I'm running on 3 hours of sleep, and not even that, because once I go to one of these bar crawls, it's so epic, so legendary, that I can't even sleep the night afterward. Especially this one, because it was the halfway to Halloween bar crawl, because you know we are in April, and we've got only 6 more months until Halloween.
And decorations will be out in June.
Yes, well, in June, why are we waiting so long?
And the episodes of Joseph's bar crawl will be on After Dark.
Well, on After Dark, we can talk about the uncensored version, but we'll give you a little bit of taste right now for that.
I have an idea. Let's make a reality show about your bar crawls.
Yeah.
We should. We should, because this was seriously one of the best bar crawls that I have ever attended.
I think that's what we should do. I think I'm going to put that into production.
Okay.
Okay.
I like it.
We'll talk, Eric, because I can see it now. As you're at the bar crawl, and then you go back with, you know, you meet a lady or two.
Yeah.
And then you or come out of the room, and there's like 30 of us out there with cameras cheering you on.
Yeah, you know, and I'm all for that, especially, you know, what I learned, because it was halfway to Halloween, I dressed up, everyone dressed up in a costume.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you, you know, who I saw in just a moment, but I found out all that stuff in the game and everything that you have to read about being AMOG and all that. You know, just forget all that stuff.
Yeah, what was that? I remember.
Alpha male of the group.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, all this game stuff.
I don't like those guys.
Right, well, you know what? None of that matters when you wear a Magic Mike outfit.
Oh, that's right.
I went as Magic Mike.
You've been working out a little bit there.
Yes, it helped.
You mean without a shirt?
No, I had a shirt. Well, I didn't have a shirt. I had a vest. I had a vest and a tie.
But no shirt under it.
No shirt under it.
Do you have
a
picture?
Yes, I have a shirt. Right. I have a picture.
I'd rather not look at it, but I'm sure it was great.
Why don't you want to see it? No, but, no. I have some pictures of the very attractive women as well.
We'll check that out.
Yeah, and so here's we could put those on our Facebook, or we could put it After Dark Facebook or something like that.
We'll pass it on to Dave. Dave can see it. Yeah, Eric's itching to see this.
Is it After Dark type material?
Not the stuff that I'm talking. Not the picture.
Not the one he just showed. If it was,
I went ahead 10 pictures later. No. And yes, there is After Dark material.
Yeah, right? Let me
see. Wow, did you really want to show me that one?
Probably not.
Okay. I'm kidding.
But you see the other one there? Yeah.
That's a good picture,
anyway,
by the way.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, and there's another young lady that I met, and I'll tell you about all of them in just a moment.
It's not fair. I don't get to see them.
I will show you.
Yeah, you got to see this stuff.
Nose
this is really good.
But I had on the tie.
What
I had
happened?
The...
Oh.
Okay.
Her nose might have turned it off.
Yeah, here.
Give it back. But I...
Well, I want to see that one.
All right. I'll show you in a minute, but let me show Eric briefly so I can continue talking about it.
And for the listeners, we're looking at Joseph's phone, and obviously you can't see it. Some of this we'll put on Facebook.
Okay, Mr. Mike.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
It looks like Mr. Mike, doesn't he?
And
or
I had,
Magic Mike.
I had
Magic
money
Mike,
in my waistline.
You did? How much?
Lots of dollars.
You're just
a lot of people gave you money for dancing?
Yeah.
You're just trying to take over for Magic Mike, too, right?
Yes, I would love to take over. I'll show you in a minute.
Okay.
But, I had on the wrist.
Speaking of that, Channing Tatum's birthday today.
33.
Yes.
I found out that from my friend Shannon.
Eric, play a little money music.
Here we go. His ears, but
come on. Little money music here.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here. You want a dollar to put in his belt?
I'll just take a dollar in general. I'll take a 20 spot, I see.
No, I got... I had so many beautiful
women. Get on the
women.
Table. Here's a 20.
22? Wow. That's,
20 to stay off the table.
Nice. Greg has the 22.
Oh, okay.
I have the 20. But they're different. One's money and one's a weapon.
Well, here's what I saw last night. Attracting as Magic Mike... Oh, here we go, yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Greg.
How do you like that?
You're closer to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go.
He's approaching
He's just putting in his wallet,
he's
Dave.
Coming over
Dave.
There. No, your wallet
cheated.
That he took earlier because it's a safe cracking show.
And you're a Dodger fan because it has LA symbol on it. I love it.
And nice. There he is on the table.
You know, I would like to say that I was the only sexy one, but I saw a sexy Sherlock, a sexy Katy Perry, a sexy Pippi Longstockings, a sexy police officer, a sexy flapper, a sexy 60s go-go dancer, a sexy cat, a sexy Hawaiian, a sexy Catholic schoolgirl. I even met my future wife.
Oh. You did?
Was it the Katy Perry?
That's what
one?
She
did
said.
You know that?
That's what she said.
Let
apparently.
Me see her.
I don't know.
Let's get her on the phone.
I don't want to tell you who she is.
But we'll see the picture.
Let's see the picture.
I'll show you pictures
just
in After Dark.
McGee so
how
far,
much money
so.
Did she contribute to the
well, that
future?
That thing was big, that nose on that.
What about?
What?
How much money did she put
had,
in your
how many dollar bills did she give you?
I had so many in my waistline, I don't even know what to tell you. I I didn't even count it.
Did you get to keep it?
Yes, of course I got to keep it.
Yeah, I'm his manager. I get 10%.
It was awesome.
You were my manager.
Well, this might be a pretty good idea to start going to these things.
I hung out with so many awesome people. I also hung out with the most attractive woman at the bar crawl. So, you know.
Is that the future wife?
I don't know. I don't want to tell you anything.
Or is it the future girlfriend?
I don't want to reveal too much on
the wait, you got
the wife? We got to reveal it during After Dark.
Well, After Dark.
Joseph, what we have to do, though, is see a picture of all the women you took pictures of. Yeah. We have to make sure she is the most attractive.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll judge them. We'll judge them. No, I don't want to do that.
Oh, no, not
they,
on the air.
They were all very beautiful. And,
they just have to
It was just amazing. That,
yeah, but beauty is only skin deep. Do they have intangible inner beauty?
They all are just amazing.
Please.
What?
I know. They all are? How did you know that? You don't know that. You have to get to know them.
I know quite a few of them.
Oh, you already knew them.
And we're going to go Salt River tubing, and we're going to have more fun tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
With all these beautiful women.
How much fun can you have in one weekend?
I have no idea. I am.
But wear your belt. We want to make money. I'm your manager.
I promise I will wear that outfit tomorrow.
And say you give change for your $100 bills.
For $100 bills? I don't give change.
Yeah.
I just take them.
Oh.
What?
Okay. Yeah, why would you give change?
Yeah.
Okay.
What would I give, a dollar?
I'm not a very good manager, am I?
For the 100, here you go.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, it was a blast, and I want to thank everyone. I know that some of them are listening because, you know, I go out there and I say, hey, I'm on the radio, baby.
So now you sound like Dave?
How does that work for you?
This is the first time it actually worked.
It worked? Was that because you said, I'm on the radio, baby? Or is it because you dressed as Magic Mike?
I think probably because I dressed as Magic Mike.
I think the Magic Mike might have helped there.
You know what? And walking to the bar crawl all alone, that was the most amusing part. Just walking there. And
after you parked, or is this like
tell us about
that. I parked in one area. I don't want to say where.
How much money did you collect before you got to the bar?
There was a very older woman who really, I think she
like
just was like
older,
blushing.
Like a I don't grandma
wanna,
milk?
I don't want to say because then I might offend some people.
Oh, okay.
Greg, that's a gilf.
It is, but yeah. I still like to call it a grandma milf.
I would say old enough that I probably wouldn't be interested, but if she wanted to throw a few dollars my way, I wouldn't reject it.
Wow, we did a remote on Wednesday.
At the senior home.
Yeah, well, it was, because two women came up to me, and they were like 97 years old.
Yes.
Well, actually, one
of
them.
I was saying, help me, help me. So it was.
Well,
really,
one of them, we were trying to decide, actually, if it was a woman or a guy or not. We were.
When you do remote broadcasts,
closely.
They come up to you just like the bar crawl.
Well, just to Dave. Only to Dave.
Yeah, it was only
never
to,
any of the others.
No. I found that Magic Mike, he attracts people of all genders as well.
Really? So tell us
you
about
what
that.
It
Did
is.
You get more money for that?
You're getting into great shape, by the way. But but when they see that, what happens is it's because you have the guts to do it. That's why they think it oozes of confidence.
Yes. You know,
well, but be sure to keep doing it, though. You got to share.
No six-pack. I'm still working on that.
I thought you drink beer.
We'll work on that, and that will help. But you know, I'll take 10% of what you get, and Dave will get 1% of that.
Yeah. I even did the whole worm thing on the floor.
Oh,
my friend Tiffany
made
me promise to do that. I did that, and that's actually some After Dark material, happened after
that. We'll take video of this so the listeners could actually see what we're talking about.
All right. Yes. Well, all right. So let's talk really briefly about Dom Hemingway. We'll talk more about that maybe later on the show, but also in After Dark, so stay tuned for all that. But Dom Hemingway, as I said, it was at the Phoenix Film Festival. Jude Law plays a notorious safecracker who, after spending 12 years in prison for keeping his mouth shut, is back on the streets of London looking to collect what he is owed. Dave, so what do you think? Did I like this movie? Did you like it?
I did, actually. And
you did?
I'll tell you why. You ready?
Yes.
This is how I describe it. A pointless.
Pointless?
Funny.
Yes.
Amusing. An incredible acting by Jude Law. That's why I liked it. It was mindless, but it was funny, and the acting was sensational. This is his best performance and best interesting character I've ever seen.
Yes, I will completely agree with that. This is a tour de force performance from Jude Law. He is amazing here. And the first half of this movie, every spoken line of dialogue is violent, profane, and perverse, but you know what? It's also so poetic. This is some great writing.
It is.
I mean,
yeah.
Isn't it like it's really hardcore type poetry there.
And there was some cosmic justice going on from beginning to end. And it was interesting. He was quite a character. And that, I mean, if you like movies that have developed very unique and interesting characters, this is a movie for you.
Completely agree. The performance by Jude Law, completely sells this. And you know that the writer-director here, we're going to hear from him in just a moment, Richard Shepard, I got a chance to speak with him in person. He's just such a great writer, has such a way with words, you know, and really nice guy as well. But I will say that the second half of the movie kind of lost it for me. It kind of, you know, we had all that fun in the first half, and then it was separated by this scene where there's something that happens. I don't want to reveal what happens, but they have this party and something happens. And I thought that kind of brought it to a screeching halt, except for a brief safe-cracking scene later on in the film. I thought the story slowly rolled to its resolution, whereas we were used to all that fun and debauchery in the first half. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. No doubt.
But it's still a good
definitely
movie.
Worth seeing if you want it, just mindless entertainment. But appreciation of phenomenal acting. And I would love to talk to Jude Law on how he enhanced that character. I'm sure the director and the writer talked about what type of person this guy is. But you know, how do actors, especially these great actors, how do they enhance it to make it their own? And that was fantastic.
Well, and you know, in preparation for that bar call I was telling you about, I was debating whether I wanted to go as Dom Hemingway. So I was growing out the whole mutton chops, and I thought I did pretty good at it, but ultimately I figured people wouldn't get that reference, and also I wanted to be sexier than that. But instead of just angry and mean all the time, which is Dom Hemingway.
Yeah.
But I am giving it a thumbs up, and you know, but I did get a chance, like I said, get to speak with the writer-director Richard Shepard about this movie. I got a chance to speak with him in person. You can hear the full interview on BreakRadioShow.com. And click on the articles section. You can hear the full interview. But I brought a clip when he kind of talks to me about the why he chose Jude Law. And exactly like you just said, it's kind of an interesting role for Jude Law to take on. So let's hear what Richard Shepard has to say about Jude Law.
I think we're so used to movies in which if you hear it's a crime movie, then you kind of know that the last 20 minutes is going to be some big, you know, break in at a bank or something. And this is not the case in this movie. This is a character-driven movie. And I think that it defies expectation. You might think it's one movie when it starts, and at the end of the movie, you hopefully really care for this guy. He's sort of a mess of a human being. And like all of us, he needs some love. So there's a beating heart underneath all of the profanity and all of the craziness that happens with Dom. I hope people sort of are surprised by the movie. I mean, I think that's why people go to see independent films on any level. It's to really be surprised, to see something you hadn't expected. And Jude in this role, doing this role, is unexpected. And he's such a fine actor that you buy it. You believe him as a guy who spent 12 years in prison and is, you know, a mess of a guy. And the humor and heart of the film comes from the grounding of the character that Jude brings. The movie wouldn't work if you didn't ultimately care for this guy who's a tough guy to like, but hopefully you do care for him. And that comes from Jude sort of fully going into the movie. And I think he was up for a challenge. He was up to, you know, I asked him to gain weight and sort of not hide his receding hairline, and we made all his suits really tight, so you know, we're sort of, he's like almost exploding out of his clothes, and that was an enjoyable, you know, experience, I think, for him.
In great fashion, great character that they've created with Dom Hemingway. So definitely thumbs up. Go see Dom Hemingway for the story, for the poetry in the entire script, and especially for Jude Law's epic performance.
That's okay. Now, it's not probably the type of film where he'll be nominated for Best Actor, right?
Well, you know, it is released by Fox Searchlight, so it's an independent film, and, you know, but, you know, it's...
So it could be.
Yeah, it could be. We'll see. But this song is, again, from Dom Hemingway, Toujours.
Toujours?
Yes, this is the...
That's soup of the day.
It's by Didier Wampas and the Bikini Machine.
Oh, say that again.
Didier Wampas and the Bikini Machine.
Is that the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
I don't know.
Didier.
What? Didier? Is it? Didier?
PDA?
Oh, no, the DDA Wampas and Bikini Machine.
Oh, PDA.
All right. Well, public. Anyway, Toujours, this is the party scene. Great song. Great soundtrack.
And
go
this is
Dom Hemingway.
Oh, excellent. Breakthrough Entertainment, live 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
again. We are Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. This is music, Joseph, that is not to my ears. I don't know what this is.
This is from Thief. It's called Scrapyard. It's by Tangerine Dream.
Tangerine Green.
Dream.
What movie is this from?
Dream. This is from Thief.
Because I know they were like
HBO.
Yes. They were like Vangelis and Tangerine Dream.
This is from the first scene in the movie when he's cracking that safe. He's drilling into it or whatever. Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a dentist?
Okay.
Drilling.
I hope a dentist would not drill your teeth that hard, but
no.
Anyway,
well, I've got some dentists that know how to do that.
We are talking all about safe-cracking movies today in honor of Dom Hemingway. We just gave it a thumbs up, so go see it in theaters. But we're talking about several other movies today as well. One of them is called Brick Mansions. It also opened yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see it. Dave, did you see it?
I did.
You did? Okay. Well, we'll save your review for later. But okay. Right now, we have on actress Carolina I'm going to try to pronounce your last name. Bartzak?
It's Bartek, yeah.
Okay. Or Bartek. Okay. Very good.
Yeah, I struggle pronouncing it sometimes. It's very complicated.
Very good. All right. Well, let me tell our listeners a little bit about the film, and then we'll fill people in on the background information here, how we have you on, even though you may not see you in the movie right now. Paul Walker plays an undercover Detroit cop who navigates a dangerous neighborhood that is surrounded by a containment wall with the help of an ex-con in order to bring down a crime lord and his plot to devastate the entire city. David Bell and RZA also star, and so this is one of Paul Walker's last films. And Carolina, you were in the film at one time, and this often happens. I know we've heard a lot of rumors with X-Men, the new X-Men movie, and a lot of other movies where people's roles end up on the cutting room floor. They sometimes appear on the DVD or Blu-ray, but unfortunately, your scenes got cut from the film. But first of all, tell us.
Who cares as long as you get paid?
Yeah, that's true. So let's start with that. Do you still get paid, right?
Yeah, I'm crying all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Well, so then tell us a little bit about your character. You were a nurse in the film, right?
Yes. Yeah, so Paul Walker in the film, his name is Damien, and he on a daily basis visits his grandfather. And I play the nurse to his grandfather. And we have this really, really fun relationship where every time he comes by, he asks me out, and I have a great time saying no. Paul Walker has this persona where, you know, he's dating some wild women, but maybe he's on that point where one day he's going to settle down. And he kind of looks to me as that woman who may be the woman to settle down with. But I don't exactly trust him yet, so I always say no, and then if I was in the film, it would have been a really cool little ending for the two characters.
Aw, so can we? Are we hoping that these scenes will appear on the Blu-ray?
I mean, I hope so. It's so hard to tell, right? You don't even know if you're in the movie until you actually go see the movie. It's all such done in such secrecy. So I have no idea if it will be on the Blu-ray or the extras in the DVD. I really hope so because it was such a fun role to play.
Do you think the movie would have been better if they had not cut you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not just because but
well, the way you described it, I would like a nurse like that. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think what would have been nice is to at the end of the film, if he had someone to, you know, go home to and to show that he had, you know, completed this big moment in his life and he was ready for something else. You know, that of course that would have been really nice. It would have been a nice, well-rounding of the character.
Yeah, absolutely, it sounds like it. And are you ever given any insight into why that is cut, or is it just sort of like, you know, well, you were cut?
Yeah, I mean, I actually had the insight the day that we were shooting, because there were some technical difficulties that were around one of the scenes that we were shooting. And in my mind, I said, you know what? If this scene isn't in the movie, I probably won't be in the movie. So I already had an inkling that that was going to happen. Of course, I hoped that it wasn't going to happen, but, you know, when I saw the film, I was like, yep, that makes sense. I can see why that happened.
You know, not only are you beautiful, you have a really pleasant, beautiful voice as well.
Oh, thank you. I used to actually be a cartoon voice for a little boy.
Give us a little sample of that. What does that sound like?
Okay, well, so my tagline in the film, because I was a little detective, my tagline in the show was, hey guys, this is Serious Mysterious.
That's good. That is really good. Yeah, you have a really nice voice, and there's no
doubt.
You
should be on radio.
Well, if you guys are looking for something, for someone.
Yes, we are.
Dave, especially.
Not only a nurse. Yeah, but you're in Canada, aren't you? Don't you live there?
Yes, I'm in Canada. I'm in Toronto right now. I was living in New York, but a lot of stuff was shooting here in Toronto, and my agents kept calling to get me to come back. So I said, why not?
How about
my family's...
Would you like to come to Phoenix, Arizona?
Sure. I actually have visited. I visited when I was 10 years old and did the whole Grand Canyon.
Oh, did you?
I had such a great time.
It's nice and warm here.
It is indeed.
Oh, I know. We have a perpetual winter that just won't go away up here.
And Canada has a lot of great TV shows that comes out of it. You know, I watch a lot of, you know, Rookie Blue and Motive. And one of my favorites for a while, I stopped watching it. But The Listener, you had a role in that briefly, right?
I did, and I wasn't cut out, so that was
wonderful.
Great. I had a really, really fun role of a woman who's, you know, by day a very strong businesswoman, but by night she has this completely different life, and she's covered in tattoos that no one sees, and the whole episode kind of revolves around her and what happens to her and what kind of trouble she gets herself into.
Nice. And so we've seen you pop up quite a bit in mm-hmm. other projects. Can you tell us about any of the other projects that more notable roles?
Sure. I had a great role in The Smurfs 2. I play a snobby kind of Upper East Side a mother at a birthday party with Neil Patrick Harris and Gemma Mays and Brendan Gleeson was there as well. And it's a funny little scene because I have a child that is allergic to everything. So anytime they serve food, I'm like, no. Is this BPA free? Is this free of any kind of gluten and so forth? And then Brendan Gleeson gives my kid a corn dog. And I say, well, I just need to make sure that it's, doesn't have any nuts in it. And he's like, absolutely not. So I say, go ahead. And he goes to eat it. And he's like, because it's fried in peanut oil. And then my kid goes into anaphylactic shock. So it was a great little fun scene that we did. And, you know, I got to spend time with Brendan Gleeson and Neil Patrick Harris for 3 days. So it was such a pleasure.
Yeah. That sounds great.
So what other things have you done? And what does your future look like?
I feel like project to project, everything is so different. I thought that I was going to stick with theater when I was in New York. And then when I came back to Toronto, I thought, you know, Toronto is so well known for all their TV shows and American films that come up here. So I'll definitely focus on that right now. And then I was offered a wonderful role in a really hard hitting play by Edward Allan Baker here in Toronto. And I did that. And I still haven't figured out what medium is working best for me, and I'm kind of dabbling in all of them, which is great. But I think in the future I'd really like to stick with, you know, film and TV and perhaps do plays on the side. And I'd love to be in the U.S. again. I'd love to be in New York and L.A. and I love that lifestyle.
And Phoenix.
Oh, and Phoenix. Sorry, forgot about that one.
I'll soon forget. Wait a minute. We're gonna play a little Trivia Pursuit here. Or Jeopardy.
Okay.
The answer is 65. And the question is?
What is the age of retirement?
No. It's how many times have you seen Charlie Chaplin's City Lights?
Yes, that's right. That is one of my favorite movies. Charlie Chaplin is my favorite director and actor. Oh, my God. He's out of this world.
Dave was around at the time.
Oh yeah, right.
Chaplin was making this.
Come on, I'm much younger than I am.
Hey, now you're messing up his chances here.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Dave's married.
Oh yeah, I am.
How soon he forgets as well.
Yeah, it was only 6 months ago. What am I talking about? How about this one? What does this mean to you? Just when you thought it was safe to get back into the water.
Is that a reference from the Jaws film?
Yes, because I read that you were pretty scared over that movie. Is that true?
Oh, my God. That movie, I think, changed my life. I will never go into a big body of water. I don't care if it's a lake. I don't care if it's completely shark-free. Like, it terrifies me so much.
It scared me, too, so.
It's so terrifying. And I actually watched the film about two years ago. And not only is it such a wonderful film that just, you know, withstands the test of time, it is still so scary.
Oh, it is. And what's even scarier now is there's sharks that are flying around Los Angeles in tornadoes. It's unbelievable.
I know. I'm never going
Sharknado?
To
Sharknado?
Absolutely. Yeah, the sequel's coming.
That must have been a great film.
Phenomenal.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And I definitely cannot wait. You know, we're going to review Brick Mansions later because Dave did see it. I didn't get a chance to see it, but I can't wait to see it because I am a big fan of Paul Walker. I know that Greg is as well. We love the Fast and Furious franchise. We were devastated with his passing a few months ago. And and I loved his role in The Hours. I don't know if you got a chance to see that, but such a terrific tour de force role. And so tell us a little bit about what it was like to work with him, especially because it sounds like your role, your character had kind of an intimate relationship with him.
It was such a pleasure to work with him, and I also was so devastated when I got the news. He's such a friendly, generous person and always professional on set. I mean, he's been doing this for years, even though he still doesn't look like he's aged a day. He's been doing this for so long, and he comes on set, and he's so friendly to everyone. He knows everyone's name. He makes all the actors, you know, feel at home, especially someone like me, who I'm coming on set my first day. It's so nerve-wracking because you don't know who's who, and he just, you know, he comes on, and he gives you a little chat, and we dived right into the scene, and we shot the scene, I think, about 40 times. And I was getting more and more exhausted with every take, and he just didn't seem to be affected by it. And then we had this really, really funny moment where the stills photographer came over and said, okay, I want the two of you to gaze into each other's eyes romantically, and I'm going to take a picture. And if you're familiar with photography, you have to do everything. You have to stand so much closer than you would in real life. So we're literally standing nose to nose, like breathing on each other. I'm trying to be so professional, and the still photographer is like, "Oh shoot, my camera's not working. Just stay in that position while I fix this." And so we're kind of standing there awkwardly staring at each other. It was out of like a comedic skit. And then finally, like Paul was like, "This is so awkward." And we both burst out laughing, and you know, got out of the pose. He was really, really a lovely man.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you what's worse, waiting around to shoot or shooting 40 times at one scene?
I think it's more fun definitely shooting one scene 40 times, but it gets so exhausting so fast because you're just working on full adrenaline the whole time. And you know, there's so many people that it takes to put a scene together, you know, that the gaffer, the cameraman, the everything, that you never want to make a mistake to have to do it again. So there's definitely a lot of pressure, but it is so fun and exhilarating when you are doing it.
Well, if you don't make mistakes, then you don't get a gag reel.
True. Exactly.
And one more question. And
sure.
Trivia. Jimmy Fallon or Jon Stewart?
Oh, Jon Stewart. I'm sorry, Jimmy, but Jon Stewart, he's my man.
You've seen every episode, haven't you?
I absolutely have. I've seen them twice, I think. He's wow. Just one of my favorite personalities ever. I think I would fall in, I'd melt into a puddle if I ever met him.
Well, and Carolina, we got one last question for you before we let you go. With Brick Mansions, what did you learn about yourself? What did this character teach you about yourself? What did working with Paul teach you about yourself? Just any general insights from you about this experience?
Well, I think her character, what I really loved about her was that she was this really strong, grounded woman. You know, and she was, you know, the women that he was attracted to was in the film was these models, but she was just so grounded and so lovely that in the end that's the kind of woman that he wanted, which was, you know, such a wonderful thing. What I learned from the film is, wow, how much energy and how much time and how dedicated everyone is to these films. I'm sure that when you do see it, you'll see these wonderful feats of athleticism that Paul Walker and David Bell have achieved. It's so much time and love that goes into these films. It was so wonderful to see someone at such a high level, so dedicated to his career.
Absolutely, absolutely. And well, again, Carolina Barczyk, you know, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today on Breakthrough Entertainment. We can't see you in Brick Mansions. Hopefully we will see you on the Blu-ray, but we hope to see you again in another project very soon. And we hope that you'll join us again.
Thank you. It was so nice for you guys to have me. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did I all know all that trivia?
Apparently I gave you some information.
Oh, it could have been you.
That yes. was given to me by her publicist, but it's all good. But yeah, she, you know, lovely young lady. And so we'll talk a little bit more about Brick Mansions coming up later in the show. But right now, let's have Hal Kemp sing us into the break with Plenty of Money and You from Small Time Crooks, another movie that has a safe-cracking
Danny DeVito
in it.
Is that a Woody Allen flick?
Yeah, no. It's a Woody Allen movie.
Oh, Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Small Time Crooks. Of course. If you hear a song like this,
it's got to be
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
But outside of that, I've no use or don't. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But I'm certain, honey, that life could be sunny with plenty of money and you.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Through the years, back and forth, of wearing every night before, I never was one for taking it slow.
And this is wonderful music from the 20s from...
No,
what? Who's the big band leader?
Diana Krall?
Diana Ross. You're absolutely correct. What is this from, Joseph?
Diana Krall is singing us into this segment. I'll Make It Up As I Go is the song. The movie is called The Score.
The Score. What was that about?
More safe cracking stuff.
Oh, of course.
I should have thought of that. Not that long ago, right?
Dang, I'm good.
You are good, Mr. Eric. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment, live 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And
what's spooky?
You said
Smokey.
What? Smokey Robinson?
You gotta start talking like this.
Oh, like cool.
Yes, we're here on Breakthrough Entertainment.
She can do
cool, 1480.
We're talking all about movies, safe-cracking movies.
Yes.
Here on KPHX.
And how will your night be tonight?
Ooh, we should be on at night with those voices.
Oh, I never thought of that. Let's try that again.
And?
Yes.
And if we have any hot listeners out there, give us a call. 602-252-1480. 602-252-1480.
Yes, great.
Well, don't say that, because a lot of the uglies are insecure but try to think they're hot, and then they're going to start calling us.
But we're attracting. We're not. We're chick magnets.
There's no such thing as an ugly person, Greg.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
You're so mean.
Let's go back.
On the inside.
Let's go back in time. Time when you dreamt. Well, deep within your mind, the recesses.
All right, we've taken it too far.
Is that part of the NLP program?
Yes, it is.
We've got a couple other movies to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Including Walking with the Enemy. And in Walking with the Enemy, here we are. We're back. High energy. Jonas Armstrong plays a young man who is in Hungary during the final months of World War II, sets out to find his displaced family by stealing a Nazi uniform to pose as an officer. He undertakes extraordinary measures to reroute his family and other Jews to safety by disrupting the activities of the German occupiers. This is based and inspired by a true story. And it released a few different locations here in Phoenix and throughout the country. And so what'd you think of the trailer?
Yeah, I saw the trailer. It really looks great, I would say, due to the subject matter. It looks like it's profound. It looks like that it's a movie that really tried to elevate the human spirit, you know, in terms mm-hmm. of helping others at a very difficult time during World War II. So... that in itself would have great meaning. In fact, some of your the next several trailers had, I thought, really deep meaning. But
yeah.
But anyway, that's how I saw this trailer. Am I correct?
Yeah, you know, if you like the war type movies and especially about the, you know, the Nazi situation, all that stuff, you might really enjoy this movie. It features some impressive production values, especially because this is a smaller studio release. It's not a main studio. It's kind of an independent type film. It's got some pretty outstanding performances from its actors, most of whom are relatively unknown, and there's a few in there, including Ben Kingsley, who benefit from our familiarity. But you know, I'm not that keen on historical dramas, especially when they read like textbooks. And yeah, no, I did not care for Walking with the Enemy.
So it's like going to school.
Kind of.
Taking a test.
Yeah, for me. I'm glad there wasn't a test at the end because
what if they started talking
it.
Like this? Oh, ladies and gentlemen. No. If the movie did.
How would that improve it?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Because he loves the After Dark type of
right.
material.
Well, we can, yeah.
Okay.
We'll talk more.
Go
what studio made it?
I think Liberty Studios is the studio. And, you know, so it's kind of, I've never heard of Liberty Studios. Have you, Eric?
No. Right.
My favorite movie studio by far.
Right? Really? Okay.
They're
all
phenomenal.
Right. This might have been their first movie. I don't know.
I own it.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Well, we're going to talk to someone. We've got...
You know what? It's so unheard of that you could have pulled that joke off.
I probably
could
have.
Yeah, you could have, yeah.
Or at least you could have had people thinking that you really did own it.
But we don't know if I'm really just kidding or not.
Well, Walking with the Enemy is an original story.
Yeah.
You know, it especially because you never... I don't think that they're ever going to find... all of the stories that can be told about the situation. And so this is certainly an interesting story, but the entire project, again, it felt like it was cut from a run-of-the-mill mold. It progresses with robotic rigidity. So again, there's it's a well-meaning movie, but I'm giving Walking with the Enemy a thumbs down, unfortunately. But I did get a chance to speak with director Mark Schmidt earlier, 2 weeks ago, actually. And so I asked him about Walking with the Enemy, and this is what director Mark Schmidt had to say about the new film.
Well, I came across this individual here that risked his life to do what he could to save innocent people. And it wasn't just totally on him, it was on other people too. And then I started investigating through some old books about the history of what happened back then, and his name popped up here and there. And then I went back in his little town where he was and talked to people, and you know, and they helped give a little insight into it, being the Horthy family, you know, relatives of the leader, Regent Horthy, and Pincus Rosenbaum, his family. And we met with the daughter of Carl Lutz, the Swiss diplomat there that helped save some innocent lives. And then along with a lot of survivors, over 35 and 50 people. It was quite interesting to hear the stories of these people. You know, we're so lucky that our relatives didn't go through the horror and the terror that they had gone through over there in Hungary during World War II.
I think he makes a very good point there. Don't you agree, Dave?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's been other movies. What was probably the most famous, and I didn't even see it, and I think it won the Academy Award. Is it Schindler's List?
Schindler's List, yeah.
Is
yeah.
similar type well, movie well, or similar topic?
Similar topic, yeah, but it's a different film. But the,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, of course, there's that Adam Brody, not Adam, no. Brody?
Yeah.
The Pianist.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, The Pianist
Excellent
is a very
movie.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Very, very good movie. Very good performance as well. And why can't I think of his name?
Adrian
Brody. Yeah.
I just said that.
And by the way,
I couldn't hear everything.
By the way, just to hit Joseph Ollie's down, Channing Tatum is 34 today.
34 today?
Not 33.
Uh-oh, Shannon, yes. You're wrong.
Channing.
Right.
And you're younger than
Shannon. Shannon's the one who gave me the information.
Oh, okay.
Because she was telling everyone that it was... Channing, my birthday today and last night, and yeah, so
and that you were turning,
and everyone was thinking, yeah,
oh, this is awful.
That I was, yeah, and then
this
I was saying, no,
awful.
I said, why are you making me so old? And then people who are actually 33 heard it and they were offended, and they said, that's not old, and yeah, just went downhill.
33
from there.
Is not old.
No,
this
no.
is terrible.
No, it's not.
Maybe to you, but
yeah,
it is old.
How old are you?
I'm 30 and I hate it.
Eric,
you
how,
hate it?
Wait, Eric, how old
Try
am I?
Try being 51.
Wait, I know.
Who's older?
Try being 41.
Eric, who's older, myself or Joseph?
I'm guessing Joseph.
Good guess.
Why do you hate 30? I really want to delve deeply into this.
Because I feel old. I just feel old. You
well,
know,
well,
did
oh,
you
please.
Not? Did you not feel old when you turned 30?
I felt old when I turned 5. No, I did not feel old. I thought, oh, this is fun. 30.
Yeah, that was a great age, 30.
Hey, thank you. It was very good.
Well, I'm starting to discover that with all of my adventures out there, you know.
It's really not so bad being 51, but, you know, from here it's all downhill, I'm sure.
No, it's not so bad being 41. I think it's uphill.
Is it downhill? Dave, you would know.
It's, it's only uphill. I believe life starts a little older than 51. Not much older. All right, a little bit older. Okay, 12 years older. But nevertheless, see, I said 12 years older because the people out there may not know how to count. They're getting their calculators
now. What is that, 63?
Okay, maybe. But anyway, I think youth is a state of mind. What do you say, Eric?
Yeah, but you got to keep yourself healthy, I guess.
Okay.
Too.
But I think if people retire...
Which I'm very bad at.
Really? But, no, I see you eat salad.
Yeah, I eat well, but yeah. I do other bad habits.
I see you.
We see you eat salad in there and behind the glass.
But
there.
He put ranch
fact,
dressing
I have a salad for lunch today.
Okay, oh, very good. Did you bring it up for the
your
rest
ranch
of us?
On it.
No, oh. Not for you.
But here's my final comment on that. If people have a purpose in life, they will continue to excel at any age.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Wow, this is great. Okay. Back
well,
to
I
you.
Just one more comment about the age thing. I just thought when I turned 30 that I, you know, okay, now all the hot chicks in their 20s, I can't get them anymore. Well, apparently I still can, but hey, I didn't know that there were so many hot chicks in their 30s.
I tell you, 30s
and
is
in their
the
40s.
New...
I didn't know.
You've heard it before. 40s is the new 30s. 30s is the new 15.
Okay, that's...
Whatever that
weird.
Is.
Yeah, wow.
Hey, when I was...
That,
when I
that
turned,
sounds weird, though.
When I turned 40, I was dating a 24-year-old.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Really?
When she found out how old I was, she dumped me.
Are you serious?
That's terrible. That's only 16 that's, years. That's,
I know a 40-year-old...
She thought I was like 30.
Wait,
I know a 40-year-old guy who's dating 30-year-old.
You were dating her, but she didn't know how old you were?
Correct, because it never came up.
Wow.
And then she got mad? Get her on the line.
She wasn't mad. She just was like, ooh.
She just said, I love you, but I'm going to miss you.
I think she was more creeped out by it.
Oh, wow.
I think women get better with age.
Thank you.
Just like wine and cheese.
I think so.
And so do guys. Some guys. Not all guys.
So then I met Kathleen, and she was 28 or 29 at the time.
And she's very lovely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I like how you said that.
Oh, I'm madly in love with her.
Oh, she's very nice.
And she's probably hearing that right now.
Yeah? Wow.
Bonus points for Eric right here.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Is it her birthday today?
No.
Okay.
Why do you...
I tell her that every day of the week.
Oh, that is really cool. Listen to Eric after dark.
We say these things knowing that these women are listening because we know that we're going to get points just like Greg just said.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So,
well, I don't really say much at all, but you guys getting some nice points there.
Right, yeah. So we've got, yeah.
But you're talking about multiple women like 15 or 20, so who knows which ones you'll actually be getting the points from.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So all I can say is there's a lot of really
hot
women in
the 30s
and 40s.
Someone that you aren't really talking about, but because there's 15 or 20 women, involved from the
who's to know?
Call. Yeah, what if you go, oh, Joseph, you were saying all this nice stuff about me. You go, who's talking about you?
See, I don't say that. That's why I conveniently said, I was hanging out with the most attractive woman at the bar crawl last night.
Yeah.
But I was hanging out with a lot of women.
And
so
your future
nobody
wife.
Nobody knows who. Mm-hmm.
You said you met your future wife.
She thought she was my future wife.
Is it wife one, two, or three?
Remember, just to be safe, it was
I'm
her.
Not you.
It was her that thought that, not Joseph.
By I'm not
way,
saying that.
By
I
By the way, Kathleen just called because she was listening.
She did.
And Eric gets many bonus points and bonus activity that we'll hear about next week.
Nice, nice. All right.
And hello, honey. We've been just talking.
Speaking of
with
love.
The guys.
I know. I was listening, and we have. Oh, by the way, the reason I'm a little bit later is I got us a new sponsor.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a really good divorce attorney.
Oh, wow.
Seeing as how you forgot that
attorney.
We've been married.
A
hello?
Divorce attorney? Yeah, because he was flirting with Carolina.
And another nurse.
Did you see her press kit that I sent out, though? She is a beautiful woman. Not that you are any less beautiful. You're way more beautiful.
We know what Joseph means.
I said beautiful voice. I didn't say... I emphasize voice, right,
yes,
Eric?
Yes. But you tell me I have the beautiful
She
voice.
Does have a very good radio voice.
Yeah, you do.
You do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm melting.
Did you like it when we were talking
melting.
Like this?
Yes, but I will tell you this, though, Eric. Probably part of the reason that happened, it might not have been the age. It might have been that it never came up. I mean, the age never came up.
I still... I still find that bizarre as the music starting before we go back to Joseph, that the age never came up and you were actually dating her. Usually it comes up maybe right away. Like, hi, nice to meet you. You know, you talk a few minutes and then, oh, how old are you? You know, I mean, you don't ask them, but it comes up. At least for a guy, they'll ask the guy's age, you know.
Well,
really weird.
Now, who is this singing? Don't answer, Eric. Listen to the voice.
I have no idea.
That's
Harry Connick Jr. or something.
This is from one of the worst movies ever produced.
Hudson Hawk is the movie. Hudson Hawk.
It.
The song is Swinging on a Star.
Oh,
the
yes.
singer
I love
is.
That song.
I have no idea.
Frank Sinatra.
First name.
No.
It's the star of the movie. That's the hint.
Yeah, star of the movie.
Yippee
Ki Yay.
I have no idea.
Bruce Willis.
He's
singing?
He's singing.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
He likes to think of himself as a musician.
That's amazing. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back. Oh, wouldn't you rather be a fish? A fish is an animal that swims in a brook. You can't write his name or read a book.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
That sounds like Shake, Rattle, and Roll, is it, by the Beatles?
No, Money. It's Money by the Stories.
Oh, Money. By the Stories?
It is a Beatles song.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
But this one, this version is by the Stories. It's from The Bank Job, another one of those safe-cracking movies.
Because they all have money, that's what I want.
who's in The Bank Job? I haven't heard of that.
The Bank Job
Eddie
is
Mark Wahlberg, wasn't he?
Was it Mark Wahlberg?
That's the Italian job.
Yeah, that's
the Italian job.
Transporter.
Oh, Statham.
Yeah, Jason Statham, I believe.
It could have been George Bush, couldn't it have been? It could have been.
We'll be talking about Italian Job actually pretty soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because that's another one of those safe cracking movies. But Bank Job, I thought it was an okay movie, not a wonderful movie. Mm-hmm. But they had some safe cracking involved in there. And in a few moments, we will have on our professional legal safe cracker joining us to tell us, to give us the inside scoop about cracking safes.
And, Joseph, where are we today? Breakthrough Entertainment, live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And this is the Safe Cracking Show, legal safe cracking. Am I right? You want your volume up?
No, my plug fell out.
Your plug? Should I plug it back in?
No. It's
okay?
There was a lot of that's what she said jokes going on last night, I will just say.
Oh.
I'm not going to say what. But
I just about said that's what she said.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But so fun stuff.
Joseph, you don't know this, but we had a cameraman there.
Nice.
And this is going
up. We should do that.
Actually has already been up. And
we've interviewed your future wife already. You know how much alimony she wants? She said, when I marry him, in the agreement, it's going to be stipulated what the alimony, if you ever leave her, is.
She already had a ring picked out and everything.
Yeah,
she's
I know.
Wearing it
Dave,
already.
That's called a prenup.
Yeah, it is a prenup, but it's a hefty alimony stipulated amount.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you remember ours?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Oh, good. Just checking.
Well, here's the
thing.
Our
new sponsor wants to know.
You know why he was interested in Carolina is that she's also a nurse.
Yeah, yes. That's the only reason. Yeah.
Nurses, I will say that nurses are hot. I know four
nurses?
Super hot women in the medical industry.
I'll tell you what, a little over a year ago, I spent a month in the hospital. All the nurses were gorgeous.
Yeah. Really?
I actually go to the hospital just for that reason.
Well,
I hang out Friday nights at the hospital.
A lot of that has to do with the drugs that we inject you with. No, I'm just teasing.
I take my own.
It could have been, but...
it was really Ben Stiller that was there.
It was a male nurse.
Yes.
We talked about that last week,
so
didn't
hot.
We? Ben Stiller?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was at our meeting.
Yeah, we
Keeping the Faith.
Yes.
Love that movie. Right. Well, can we do a Keeping the Faith movie?
I'm talking about Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I was talking about Meet the Parents,
those scrubs are super hot. So, you're one of four women in the medical industry who are You know, some of the most attractive women I've ever met.
Wow. Yes. Okay, I'll let you guys put it on the air
before I can say these things.
I can leave now. I can leave.
Again, we say these things because we know certain people are listening, and we get points. All right.
I can't wait to find out.
I don't know if you'll get points for that one, Joseph.
Well, yes, I know. I can't wait.
Hey.
The thing
about nurses is that they're not only beautiful on the outside, but most of us are beautiful on the inside.
Yeah, it's true. You know,
I don't think you guys understood what I was saying. So, when you go back and listen, you will.
We actually have.
Is it okay?
Conductor.
I didn't
conductor,
hear it.
Yeah.
Conductor.
Okay, he's over here. He's reining us in. He's nice
muscular arms because
taking control.
I wonder if these, if you need muscular arms like mine to open a safe, to crack a safe, because that's what we're talking about today. We gave Dom Hemingway a two big thumbs up earlier in the show. We're going to hear your take maybe a
little
bit later.
Even though it was pointless.
Yeah, well, we'll hear Trisha's statement about the film a little bit later on, since she missed our segment on that. But let's talk with a real-life safecracker right now. He's the director of the National Safemen's Organization. His name is Dave McComey. Thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment today.
Oh, it's good to be with you, Joe.
Absolutely, and so this is very exciting. We always do this on our shows. We try to bring in the practical perspectives of the theme that we're talking about. So first of all, I want to ask you how you got involved in safe cracking, and but what interested you in this profession?
Well, you probably are much too young to recall Robert Wagner. He played a character in the
late 60s
called Alexander Mundy. Hey, somebody remembers.
Yes.
Oh, I do too. I thought he was so handsome, and that was a great show.
Well, he was so cool. He could crack any safe. And the thing that really knocked me out is that he always had beautiful women, and I assumed it was because he knew how to crack safes. So I thought, that's the key.
I think it's because he had money.
Well, actually, he cracked safes for the government. It wasn't he was a thief, and then the government hired him. And Fred Astaire played his father.
That's right. Very good memory.
And Natalie Wood played his wife.
No,
that was Stephanie someone. Right? Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie in Heart to Heart, Stephanie Powers was his wife.
My bad.
Yeah.
So then is that the case when you know how to crack?
It's absolutely true. I was so enamored with Alexander Mundy that I went down to a local locksmith shop. And I begged them to let me sweep the floors, clean the key machines, whatever it took to just get an insider's perspective in the business. And it worked. They let me come in, and Eugene Corey, who ran Accurate Safe and Lock here in Vancouver, Washington, just took a liking to me. Oh, just one thing led to another, and here I am 40-some years later, still loving it. I still love opening safes. I can't imagine ever doing anything else.
And what kind of training is involved in that profession? And does it keep changing? I mean, because I know that they keep coming up with different technology, right?
Yes, it does. It changes rapidly. We're in transition right now from the old spin dial mechanical locks, a dial that you turn four turns this way and three turns that way, and it confuses a lot of people, to the electronic locks of today, which are as easy to open as your alarm panel. Just punch in a few numbers, boom, turn your handle, open your safe. It's changing rapidly.
Now, when you are opening these safes, is it, like I saw on TV, they've got somebody who goes around and there are old safes that are found that nobody knows the combination to because the owner died, or they found it floating in a lake, or not floating, but at the bottom of a lake or something like that. When you are doing your job, how do you destroy the safe in the process? Do you pick the lock, or do you drill it, or how do you open them usually?
Well, there are really only three scenarios under which I'm called out or anybody's called out to open a safe. Either the combination is not known to the person who needs to open it. Grandpa may have had it, for example, when he passed away and the estate needs to have it open, that kind of a situation.
Okay.
The second one is when a burglar tries first and damages the safe, punching the dial, breaking the handle off, cutting the hinges, that kind of thing. And third, which is the most common in my line of work, are just malfunctions where the safe or vault is locked, but it won't open because something has broken or changed on the inside. And that's about it. There really isn't a fourth category. That's pretty exhaustive.
Are you successful at opening a safe every single time?
Yes, of course.
Wow. How long does it take? I mean, is it a range from just a few seconds to a long time? I mean, what's the longest that it's ever taken you to open a safe?
Well, the truth is, most of the time we go out on spin dial type locks, it's just a very minor malfunction in the lock itself that we can overcome by using little tricks on the dial itself. And most of the time, 5 minutes or less, we've got it.
Now,
it gets more tricky on a malfunction, I'll say, on a bank vault. One of my most memorable jobs happened to be in Phoenix 4 or 5 years ago. And, yeah, sometimes it can take hours and hours.
Now, I suspect you have a lot of technique and learning from, you know, maybe past safecrackers. However, how much is this intuition, too, and just innate talent?
For me, very little. I have friends in the industry, one who passed away recently, who was absolutely amazing on the intuitive side. He just had an uncanny, almost a sixth sense that gave him a knack for knowing what was wrong in situations where most of us in the business, even journeymen, would struggle. I am not one of those. I'm one of those extremely left-brained people who goes to the mall and everybody else can look at the dots on the painting and see Lady Liberty jump out. I never have been able to do that. I can't be hypnotized. I'm no help there.
Well, I want you to close your eyes deeply.
Yeah.
So what is in your toolbox? What are your go-to tools that you always have with you?
Well, my primary job, my area of expertise, is in opening bank vaults, either when the combination is lost or when there's a malfunction. Very rarely are there ever attempted burglaries on bank vaults. It almost never happens. In my toolkit, I work out of a carry-on suitcase, two of them actually, so I'm ready to hit the airport at any time. A variety of drill bits, some very specialized drill bits that you can't go to Home Depot or Lowe's and buy. Very high-end, high-speed drill motor. Several special drill rigs. One of the most important things that we have to do on difficult safes is apply extreme pressure on the drill to cut it. If it's a smooth, hard plate, we're annealing the metal and basically burning our way through. So I have several drill rigs that I take with me. When I came to Phoenix, by the way, a few years ago, I came, but my tools went to Tucson.
Wow.
Compliments of the airline.
We won't say which one.
No, we won't.
Why not?
I don't remember, but I can guess.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's not good if they lose all the tools you need. So you do basically, rather than like we see in the movies with the stethoscope and the magnet and getting
the big drill,
getting everything to go, you've got the drill and you actually drill the lock then?
Well, some movies actually do a scarily realistic job of portraying it. The Getaway with Alec Baldwin and his ex-wife.
Which was filmed here?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, it was filmed at the dog track.
Well, it was very realistic, except for the fact that the arthroscope that he was using and the picture they showed on the monitor of the lock, as a highly technical matter, it was the wrong lock. That lock wouldn't have been inside that vault. But other than that, it was very realistic. I was really amazed. I actually prefer it when they do it kind of fancifully, where it doesn't really get it right. But, yeah, we use all those tools. We use... I'm half deaf, so I use an electronic amplifier. Most guys that have normal hearing in the business still use an electronic amplifier. Hearing little tiny ticks or if we're manipulating are very valuable. I can't think of a single A-list safecracker that doesn't use an electronic amplifier. We all do.
Do you ever get consulted by law enforcement?
All the time. You know, as a libertarian, I don't like drug laws, but as part of my job and as part of every guy who does what I do, part of their job, we're called out and we have to work with DEA and local law enforcement on drug busts. Most of us don't like it, but it's just part of the job.
I'm so excited, a fellow libertarian. Yay!
Oh, good.
Yes.
I thought you were a liberal.
I
That's what I thought.
I am a libertarian. Libertarians
all the
way.
Starts with an L.
Do you ever get called by movie producers to consult on movies?
Well, it's been a long time. I was a technical advisor on the Burt Reynolds film Breaking In back in the late 80s. And I had hoped to parlay that into other work, but it just never really panned out much. I had the unfortunate characteristic of looking like I was 18 until I was about 35. And then when I hit 35, I looked like I was 60. I never had that middle area that so many people have.
We were just talking about ages, and, you know, so that's funny that you bring that up. But having said all that, I know that you are working on your memoirs. You're writing about your experience, and we're going to have you on a little bit later on whenever you finish that. But tell us, what are we going to find in those memoirs?
Well, I was inspired by William F. Buckley's book. He had actually had several books that chronicled a week in his life. Overdrive was my favorite, and I loved the concept. You know, just take 7 days. In my case, I'm only taking five because I'm long-winded. But he took 7 days out and just wrote about a week in his life. So that's what I've done. Now, I'm kind of being kind of sneaky. The other model for my particular book was Robert Persig's Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. He used his cross-country journey and the maintenance side as a hook to lure you into a much deeper discussion about quality. That was really the point of that book. Well, the point of my book is it's really a reaction to the new atheists and the militant theists. I'm arguing in the middle ground that really the only thing that makes sense is agnosticism. So that's really the point. I'm using my safecracking as a hook, the way that Persig used Motorcycle Maintenance and a Journey.
And I love that book. I love that book. So I'm excited for your book to come out.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. I love it.
Now, I know that you haven't seen Dom Hemingway, but Tricia wanted to know, there's a scene in the movie, and we don't want to reveal too much about it, but it takes place in the second half of the movie, and so we don't want to tell you exactly what happens. But Tricia's got a really special question for you that we're curious that ties into this movie.
Yeah, without being a spoiler, something along the lines of, even with these newfangled safes, something about if you're able to use certain motions and movements, that sometimes shaking it can make the tumblers go into where they're supposed to go?
Wow, I am impressed. When I teach this around the country for locksmith associations, and one of my favorite things to show people in the business who haven't learned it already, I hesitate to say this on the air, but there are a whole range of safes that you can go out and buy today that can be bounced open. It's absolutely true, and I don't know exactly what they did in the movie, but we can bounce safes open. They're a very old technology, a piece of equipment called the Jacob's Jiggler, was used 50 years ago to put on the dial and vibrate the lock and get the tumblers in alignment, and it would open.
Wow. So this might be, then I think maybe you should see Dom Hemingway. He has a very, very creative way of shaking it, or bouncing it, shall we say. But yeah, so excellent. So I was thinking that was kind of, I was kind of thinking, oh, that's so fanciful that, you know.
Not at all.
Okay.
I can email you a video that I use in class. It's frighteningly real.
That would be cool.
Now, this might be off the topic, but one of my favorite magicians, Houdini. Any work with magicians and safes?
He always had keys.
Is that right? But yes. What do you know about that?
I know nothing. I've never worked with a magician. There are several guys in the industry that I'm in that do have a background as magicians, though.
Mm.
So it's not uncommon.
Wow.
By the way, there's YouTube videos of the Jacob's Jiggler if you want to see that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm surprised anybody even still has one floating around.
Well, again, I just want to remind our listeners that we're talking with Dave McOmey. He's the director of the National Safemen's Organization. And so Dave, finally, tell us a little bit about how people can get in touch with you. Or, you know, is there anything before this these memoirs come out, in case anyone has any questions for you?
Or needs their safe opened.
There's a good one.
I handle requests from the public all the time on safe and vault lockouts. I know competent guys in every city in the U.S. If anybody has a safe or a vault they need to have open, they're welcome to email me or go onto my website. and I will refer them to somebody in their area. There's a bunch of very competent, qualified guys all around the United States.
And yet you still were flown out here to Arizona specifically for a bank vault, so you must still be at the top of the top.
Just, I have an odd specialty. My specialty is bank vault lockouts and what we call high security safes.
Awesome.
So I just, in order to stay afloat, I had to specialize years ago to keep the work because, like in anything else, you know, in a free market, there's going to be competition. And there are guys in my area that are perfectly good safe technicians. They can work on safes and open them. So I gravitated to the more difficult ones to kind of thin the pack out a little. Oh. The downside is it requires a lot of travel, but that's all right.
Now, and Dave, you sent me these just spectacular photos of a recent job of yours, and your daughter was you let her have her hand at cracking a safe. So does she want to kind of follow in your footsteps?
Well, it was right before Christmas. I couldn't get a flight. It was very frustrating. It's very rare the airlines won't sell you a ticket, even when they're oversold. But they wouldn't. They had oversold seats. And I had just gotten back from a couple of very long drives, so I took Amtrak. And I thought, well, I'll have Claire, my daughter, come with me. Her best friend had just moved to this city in Montana, Whitefish, Montana. So she jumped on Amtrak with me. I took her to the bank and had her help me drill the hole. And I got a gorgeous picture of an 8-year-old girl using a very heavy, fancy drill rig to open a bank vault.
Yes, very impressive, very impressive photo. So, thank you for sharing those with us. And, you know, again, Dave McComey, director of the National Safemen's Organization, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment.
And his
Entertainment.
Website.
Your website again?
It's my name, Dave McComey. It's www.davemcomie. I should have made it simple like Safecracker, but I didn't.
.com, right?
I do have to say I love it when a father teaches his daughter to use power tools. Good for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
And again, Dave, we'll have you on whenever you finish your memoirs. Keep in touch with us. We'd love to have you on again and talk more about the subject.
I'll do it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you
so much. Nice guy.
Yeah,
cool.
very nice guy.
Very interesting. And, these are things no one thinks of.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, of course, Ocean's 11, another one of those safe-cracking movies. Little Less Conversation by Elvis Presley.
Is that the original Ocean's 11 or the old one? Which one?
The new one.
The new one. You sound good. Hey, that was good.
Greg, is that a pass?
Is that a pass?
No.
He sounded so
that
good.
That was Elvis. You have to sing Elvis.
You have
Elvis
to. Elvis one time. Especially when I'm here.
Yes.
He has to sing
Elvis.
Oh, yeah,
she loves Elvis.
Elvis. Elvis
I was kicking him
under
the table.
That was his one, Eric. That was his one.
But he did so well. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment
that was my
Live.
Request.
1480 AM.
It still counts.
KPHX. We'll be right back.
Satisfy me, baby. Come on, baby. I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Don't procrastinate, don't articulate. Girl, it's getting late. You just sit and wait around. A little less conversation, a little more action.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Back again, you are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here on 1480 AM KPHX. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and Trisha, who's getting some coffee, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a very interesting segment on safecracking. Who would have ever thought, Mr. Eric, there would be a specialist in just bank vault cracking or fixing or whatever he does?
Well, I would imagine that's probably one of the toughest things to crack.
That's sort of interesting, right? I thought it was sort of
tough
cool.
nut to crack, huh? Yeah.
Tough safe to crack.
Yeah, oh. Tough. That's a safe bet.
Okay. Oh.
I'm cracking
more.
Up.
So are we, apparently. All right. Well, that song that brought us into this segment is by Tom and Andy.
And Saltine Crackers.
No, just Tom and Andy. The movie is called Killing Zoe, and the song was called Go. And I haven't seen Killing Zoe, but the director of the movie, Roger Avery, also directed Rules of Attraction, which I'm sure that you liked. No, Greg?
I did, yes. Dawson, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Vanderbeek, there
yes,
we go.
James
good
Vanderbeek.
Movie. Good movie.
One of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah. Very, one of my favorite books.
Has a tie-in with American Psycho, too.
Yes, yes, that of course.
So your favorite movie is Mixed Nuts.
Yes, but it's on my list of maybe the top 10 or something like that, top 20. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll have to make a... We'll do a special show sometime.
Ooh.
My favorite movies of all time, and we'll compare them against
Eric's. Very hard. Very hard to do.
Yes. Yes.
That would be.
Yeah, there's a lot of great movies out there. Well, let's see if there's any that just recently opened, any great movies, because there's a lot of other movies opening. Of course, we're talking about... safe cracking movies in honor of Dom Hemingway, which we'll get your thoughts a little bit later on, Tricia. But right now, let's hear and see if there's some other of these other releases, if they're any good. One of them is called The Retrieval, and it too played at the Phoenix Film Festival, but not this year, last year. It won, I believe, the Audience Award for Best Picture, and it won several other awards as well. In The Retrieval, Ashton Sanders plays a boy who, on the outskirts of the U.S. Civil War, is sent north by his bounty hunter gang to retrieve a wanted man, played by Tishwan Scott. Tishwan Scott was actually at the Phoenix Film Festival last year, walking around. He might have actually got an award for his performance. So, Dave, what did you think about the trailer for this?
Well, it looked like, again, a strong emotional film with significant meaning, and... That's the takeaway I got. Just like that other film that we were talking about, Walking with the Enemy, something profound, significant subject matter. This, again, looked like it had some emotional strength to it and significant meanings. Is that correct, just going from the trailer?
Yeah, this is a very meditative journey across a volatile landscape during which two people engage in a conversation that encourages viewers to ponder the complexities of morals and self-respect. Unfortunately, that's also very boring to me. Again, a lot of people loved it. It was,
which one?
It
morals was, or self-respect?
The whole thing.
Oh, okay.
On the one hand, the movie's visually stunning. Authentically evokes every emotion that the director asks of his audience, and its ideas are admirable, but the timing of this movie is truly trying. It thwarted the efficacy of Sud Strengths. I'm giving it a thumbs down. That's just a long way of saying it's a laboring experience that
it
feels
sucks.
A lot longer. Yeah, it's boring. I found it very boring. But again, a lot of people out there really liked it. It's a historical Western. You might get it is a meaningful movie.
Yeah.
It just, its meaning was kind of lost on me because I was bored while watching it. So I'm giving it a thumbs down to The Retrieval, unfortunately.
Okay, then.
But again, some people liked it. But let's move on to Proxy. Alexia Rasmussen plays a woman who, having suffered a miscarriage after being brutally attacked by a hooded assailant, finds consolation in a support group. However, friendship and understanding can be very dangerous things when accepted by the wrong people. Kind of a vague synopsis there, because this is a very interesting movie. This played at the Phoenix Film Festival this year, and... I don't want to reveal too much about the movie, but what did you think of the trailer, Dave?
Well, it looks like another scary movie, and need I say more? I don't like scary movies.
Well, I will say that it's not really a horror movie.
No, it looked pretty gory.
It was so well. It's gory. It is very gory, but it's more of a thriller. There's not much horror in this movie. This is a very twisted movie. I will say that something happens at the midway point.
And I'm going to guess a twisted movie, you give it a thumbs up.
I love twisted movies. I love twisted movies.
Not this one, though.
This one was way too twisted.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give it Proxy props, hey, alliteration, for trying something different and completely unexpected, but this movie is so twisted, perhaps it's more accurate to say that the characters are so twisted, because these are messed up people. I mean, apparently they've got some, you know, psychological disorders that are actually real after I talked with the director. But it was impossible for me to remain interested and invested in this movie because all the characters are extremely unlikable. Mm. Like, there's not one single person in this movie that you can relate to because they've all got some sort of psychological disorder, as it turns
out.
How
important
well,
is
some
it?
People might be able to relate to that.
Yeah, some people might be able to relate. Really, yeah, very good point.
Hey, that is a good point.
I've tried to date some of them. But,
and how was that?
Not very good. But what starts out off as a slow trudge through sadness with a few glimmers of intrigue along the way takes a really sharp turn at the halfway point. There's something that happens at this halfway point that just blew me away. I had no idea this was coming, and that's what's really unique about this movie, is that you are watching the first hour, you think you know what's going to happen, and then something completely unexpected that has never occurred in any movie that I've ever seen happens, and the movie becomes something different.
Do you see dead people?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. There's, it's something well,
obviously
that's
there's
never
dead people in this movie, but yeah.
No, that was The Sixth Sense.
Right,
that was unexpected so much.
Certain people die, but I'm not going to say
I figured
who.
It out.
You
did?
Figured
what,
it out?
At what point?
In the Sixth Sense, I knew.
You're not going to figure this one out. Mm. This one's going to take you completely by surprise. Right at that one-hour mark, I think it's like exactly, something happens, and your mind is blown.
Remember The Village where the other one? The funny thing is going into that, I thought it was during present time anyway, so they just lived in a weird place. So when the thing came at then and everyone was shocked and whoever I was seeing it with was like, oh, I'm like, what happened? Well, I thought it wasn't the present time.
You weren't shocked.
Yeah, well, not only that.
So you
I,
might like
I
this
consider
movie.
Myself a genius now. Because of
Greg might understand this.
No, no, I don't want to see it.
You don't want to see this one?
No, I'm going to ask you on the break, actually,
okay.
What happened.
I'll tell you during the break what happens, because I'm curious about that, but it looks kind of gross. I'm going to give it a thumbs down. Give it a thumbs down.
Well, hey, now.
Yeah. It's, you know, the movie would have worked if the characters' motivations were clear and the story had not left so many loony loose ends. When I talked to the director, though, apparently these were not loose ends. I talked to him. This was really cool. Mm-hmm. It wasn't during the interview. I got a chance to talk to him, you know, outside of that as well, because I had some questions about the movie. And he gave me some insight into the movie that I did not, you know going into it. Mm-hmm. And
well,
so
he gave you the insight after you saw it?
Yes.
Well, then that's silly, because if you need that insight to understand the movie, then what's the point?
Which is why I'm still giving it a thumbs down. Which, you know, but it is, you know, from a filmmaking perspective.
It's like a secret.
Right. But from a filmmaking perspective, it is it's something that people are going to want to analyze. So this might be a movie that people look at in film schools.
I don't want to analyze things. I just want to I want to have closure at the end.
With all your relationships or the movie?
Movies. I hate when they leave you guessing at the end.
Okay.
Or when you date a girl and she's guessing your age and then finally decides
and then dumping
to cut it
me.
Off.
Yeah, I don't think Eric has had much complete closure in his life. He's looking forward to getting some complete closure.
Yes,
some
I am.
Well, again, I got a chance to speak with writer-director Zach Parker. By the way, his last movie was excellent. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's got this weird, really weird. Scalene. Scalene is the name of the movie.
Scalene.
And it stars the woman in The Millers, that TV show, The Millers,
now.
And
they're very good in salad.
Okay. Very good. Scalenes.
I'm having some salad right now.
Yes.
You have some.
You have any scalenes on there?
No, those are disgusting.
All right.
And it's actually scallion.
I know. It's a play on words.
I know.
I know how to do these things.
You're so good.
Well, I asked Zach Parker, you know, because in the beginning of this movie, in Proxy, the woman gets brutally beaten.
Ooh.
And she suffers a miscarriage. And so that is one of the many things in this movie that...
That's twisted.
Is, well, twisted, and mm-hmm. it's just disgusting to watch how
to
this
beat
woman
up a
is.
Pregnant woman.
Yeah, there is something that happens to her stomach that's, you know, and
oh.
yeah, and it's just not pleasant to watch. It's not pleasant to watch. But
well,
you know,
how was
he
your
had,
popcorn though?
But, yeah, disgusting. But Zach Parker had a very good reason for doing this, and he loves playing around with all these really unique situations. So let's hear from Zach Parker about his motivations for Proxy.
Experimenting with structure is something that I'm most interested in right now, and sort of playing around with audience expectation and misdirection, and sort of, you know, trying to experiment with the sort of experience of watching movies. I knew that it might be a risky choice, but I really appreciate filmmakers who take bold and risky choices in their films. So that was something I was just trying to apply to my own work. And with this film, I just wanted to hit people pretty hard at the beginning, like almost throw them off balance, give them this, that anything could happen in this film, thereby creating an innate sense of suspense and also earning the time then to build a character and story with almost this unspoken promise that something like this could be around the next corner. So I just feel that we've been many generations of filmgoers now, and audiences have become quite savvy as to how a film unfolds. And generally, with most films, in the first 5 or 10 minutes, you get a good impression of who the characters are and what their relationships are going to be, what the tone of the film is, what the arc is going to be. And so what we're really trying to do is take those expectations and turn them on the audience, and hopefully, you know, give you the sense that every time you feel like you have a grasp on where the film is going, it would become something else, and it would become something else, in order to try to create some kind of unique viewing experience.
And, you know, again, I really wish that directors would try more stuff like this, because we have, you know, we get the same cookie cutter plot all the time. So I admire what this guy does. Again, his last movie, Scalene, was a breakthrough. I gave it a breakthrough. Oh. Just a tremendous movie. And, you know, but this one, unfortunately, I liked what he was trying to do, but it lost me, you know, in the end. So I'm giving Proxy a thumbs down. But out of curiosity, I can also kind of recommend you check it out. Maybe not in theaters, but maybe once it's on DVD, because it will. It's unique.
At your neighbor's home.
Okay, I don't know.
So you don't have to pay.
Okay. Well, no, so you can works. Party.
Yeah. Well,
party.
Yeah, have a viewing party.
I guess that's a
that's illegal.
Okay. Oh, it is.
You can't show it like to an audience.
No, only parts of Alabama.
Well, I just meant with friends. You can't do a video on.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. Yeah,
I was gonna say, as long as it's just your living room.
The views expressed on this program are solely someone else's.
Well, there was a movie that came out last year that had some safe cracking in it. It's called Now You See Me, right?
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
That was Jesse. A very good movie. Yeah, very yes. good movie. And so the song that's going to take us into the break is from Now You See Me. The song is called Entertainment, and the band is Phoenix.
And you just saw part of that. Now You See Me.
Uh-huh.
Jesse
Eisenberg.
He's a great actor.
You were talking about magic and safes, right?
I love it.
There
I love
go.
Magic.
And that was very
I love magic, Mike. No, that's your magic, Mike.
Hey. A lot of ladies love Magic Mike.
I'm not a lady.
He's not a lady.
Well, I mean, Trisha loves Magic Mike.
You and a lot of ladies love Magic Mike.
Yeah. I'm Magic Mike. Okay, and this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, Studios KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
You're my Magic Mike.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and Trisha is in the studio. Now, this song sounds like the 1940s.
Can you get to that?
Yeah, I can. That's what the title is.
Tell us about that the 40s.
But isn't this song funkadelic?
Who? Yeah, I was gonna say
the song is funkadelic.
Yeah,
isn't it?
This is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The band is funkadelic. The name of the song is "Can You Get to That?"
Can you get to that?
And the movie is Safe Men.
I've
never heard of Safe Men, but
yes, you have, yeah. Because the association that he belongs to.
Yeah, that's right. It was sponsored by Trojans.
Sam Rockwell, Steve Zahn.
Yes.
Safe
there
Men.
You go.
Yeah.
So
I didn't see it. Google. But it looks pretty good, you know, yeah. Because Sam Rockwell and
really
Steve
good
Zahn.
Cast, so I
yeah.
can't wait to see it.
Oh, he's good.
But Paul Giamatti.
The entire soundtrack. When
Mark
I was going
Ruffalo.
Through the soundtrack, all the songs are this.
Harvey Fierstein.
That was scary.
He's in it, too.
I am Batman. No, Harvey Fierstein.
Harvey Fierstein.
No,
I'm sorry.
Fierstein. I don't know how to pronounce my last name.
The guy from Miss Doubtfire, the Robin Williams gay brother. Yeah,
yes.
I love
yeah.
that guy's voice. Yeah,
I was. Yeah, okay. I was.
I really don't like his voice, but he's funny though.
Yes. Well. Okay, I was doing a joke from The Neighbors.
I haven't
Neighbors,
seen it
which
yet.
Is, we're not talking
and
about it yet.
Really
it comes
talk
out.
Much
yeah,
more about
but
it.
I saw it and it comes out in a couple weeks, I believe.
But I think I know what you thought of it just because you're talking about it. So yeah.
There's some Batman jokes in there that I think
so
you and Eric
trouble.
Might enjoy. It's,
you think so?
Yeah.
You're talking about me.
Yeah, because there's different different Batmans, right? There is,
but this is the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Batman, Eric?
Eric, go ahead.
Robin.
None.
Okay. None of the actors?
George Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney. Oh, you too?
He liked him some Clooney.
Yeah, I like George
Clooney. I like Clooney as an actor, but not as a Batman.
Rosemary Clooney.
He sucked.
I don't like any of them, actually.
I am Batman, and then there's...
I was the best. Michael Keaton was a close second.
Michael Keaton. He was good. I am Batman.
He was pretty good.
I am Batman.
I was first.
And then you go, I will kill you as Christian Bale, but then, of course, Michael Keaton.
I'm Christian Bale, Batman. I was the best.
But I am Michael Keaton.
Okay.
And you can't do that. I will take care of you.
Okay.
I don't know. That was weird. But anyway.
Hey, now this is a total aside, but I want a little birthday shout out to Rob Steinberg, our friend that was on 12 Years a Slave. Oh, happy birthday, cool. Rob. Happy birthday.
Excellent.
Yes. So he shares a birthday with Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Who was 34 today, not 33.
Sexiest man alive?
What's a year when you're looking at those abs?
I don't look at his abs.
I think he's 36 pack. I mean, sorry.
Well, let's go with LaFlo right now.
Those things are hard.
Okay, well, let's go with the LaFlo right now. Because our next guests have made this movie called Go with LaFlo. Mm-hmm. It's playing tonight at the in honor of the Prescott Film Festival. We'll ask them a little bit about that screening. But we have on producer Robin Rosencrantz and writer-director Michael Glover on behalf of the film. Again, it's called Go with LaFlo. Thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment today.
Good morning.
Yes, how are you both today?
We are jet lagged. We just flew in from Beijing last night, where they were showing our film at the Beijing Film Festival.
Nice. How did that go?
Really good. We were surprised to see that the laughs were the same in all the same places with a Chinese audience. So it really traveled well.
Nice.
That is such a long flight from Beijing. Oof.
Yeah, it was about 12 hours, but we slept most of the time, which is great. Yeah.
Yes, we're glad that you all rested up, and honored to have you here on the show today. So I want to tell our listeners a little bit about the film. Dennis Albert plays the owner of a French delicatessen in Berlin that specializes in salami. When he meets the daughter of a French director, it's love at first sight, and he plans to ask her to marry him. However, he doesn't know that she is already engaged to a movie star. Meanwhile, his best friend, the owner of a bakery, is in love with him, but doesn't know how to tell him. So kind of a twisted romance there. A lot of people liking someone, back and forth. So, but there's something that's really unique about this movie. Tell us about that.
Well, it's in German and French, for one thing. Even though we're Americans, and I wrote the script in English originally, we decided to make it a foreign film. We thought it would be fun to have a foreign film for the American market. And so we went to Berlin. Robin and I have been a band called Bright Blue Gorilla since 1990. So we've been touring Europe for almost 25 years. We have a lot of friends there in Europe. So we thought, well, let's try shooting something entirely in another language or two languages. And shoot in Berlin, and it was a great experiment, real fun, and the results have been we're very happy with the results.
Right, and I'm curious that that's also kind of a risk because we think in terms of commercial audiences, they don't tend to go to foreign films. Was that a risk? Obviously, you thought was worth it though, right?
Well,
yeah, we've been finding it's really been working out. We especially had a great time at the Heartland Film Festival in Indianapolis. It's a 10-day festival, and they screen your film several times. But we were curious, how is it going to play in Indiana? And a lot of different types of people came. Some people who were connected to Germany and France, maybe they had lived over there for a while or they were from there. But all kinds of people came, and we found they just loved the experience. They found it refreshing. Some of them were seeing a foreign film for the first time, but they really loved the experience.
Oh, wow. They were excellent. And, there's a lot of salami in this movie. I definitely was hungry for, I wanted to go to the delicatessen.
Yeah, that's a real delicatessen, too, in Berlin called LaFlo. And when I saw the shop, LaFlo, that's when the title changed and some of the characterizations changed because we had access to this beautiful French shop owned by a guy actually named Florian, just like our character. And so we thought, well, let's center it around that shop since it's such a beautiful location. And so if you're ever in Berlin, you can go. That's the actual store, exactly as you see it in the film. It's a wonderful French-German delicatessen.
Wow, that's impressive. And tell us a little bit about what you hope that viewers take away from this film. If there's an overall message or meaning or idea that you hope that viewers take away from it, what would that be?
Well, mainly it's sort of, you know, what is true love anyway? What, in the story there, one of the things that Florian kind of learns is that friendship is a deep part of, real romance. And that was one of the little things we like to get across. The main thing, though, is that we just wanted people to feel better at the end of the film than they did when they walked in the cinema or when they turned it on their television to watch. We've seen that with now, I think, over 12 audiences, and the reaction's been so nice. Another thing that we put is there's a company, Euro Cinema, like the ideal company for us, because they're a company that takes cinema to America, and they're actually on 36 million television sets. They have a channel on the with cable on million TV. So they picked up the film ago, and we're very excited to be working with it. And watch it on your TV, always on the web through eurocinema.com. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, and we love these optimistic movies that, movies that make you, like you said earlier, make you feel good when you're walking out of the theater. Once the credits are rolling, you just feel uplifted, and that's what this movie does, right?
Yes, exactly. And we have talking about credits, we have something special in our credits. One of the things we'd like to do is include a lot of outtakes, behind the scenes stuff. So after you see the movie, you get to see that. But also, we had 200 people on this film from 20 different countries. So it was a real special atmosphere on set and a very international labor of love.
Oh, yes, definitely. And as I mentioned earlier, this there's a special screening going on tonight on behalf of the Prescott Film Festival. So tell us a little bit about, that's 6:30 tonight, right?
Yeah, I think it's 6:30.
Yeah, 6:30 tonight. And not only is it, a special day for all the volunteers that help at this great festival, but it's for the community so they can get a taste of what's coming up at the Prescott Film Festival in July, which we might actually fly in July and do a Bright Blue Gorilla concert and show the film. We like to play concerts at our movie screenings as well. So we hope to come celebrate the film in Prescott.
And you'll come here too, right? And Phoenix in studio, we'd love to have you.
Oh, that would be fun.
That would be terrific.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely keep us in the loop there. And so what's next for you? Or are you just focusing on Go With La Flow?
Well, we're going to take the film to Europe in the fall. And speaking of Eurocinema, I mentioned Eurocinema a second ago. They're also branching out into Europe now. I mean, it makes sense with a name like Eurocinema, but we're talking to them about releasing it in Europe as well. So we're planning to do a cinema tour in the fall in Europe, and then probably what's called a day and date release, which means it comes out on the cinema at the same time it comes out on video on demand. So through Eurocinema, we'll probably do that in the fall. And also, we have two other movie projects that we're planning right now. So we're pretty busy, and we're excited to keep being able to make these, films. These truly independent filmmaking is an exciting thing for everyone involved, especially when it gets this far and we start to get the audience acclaim and the critical acclaim that we've got on this film.
Excellent. Now, you said that you've been touring with a band in Europe and that you do concerts. What kind of music do you play?
It's really singer-songwriter folk rock is what we call it, but it's really all about the song and all about the lyrics. So Michael and I, we write in a lot of different styles. Some of our songs are even new wave, blues, pop, folk, whatever the song requires.
For filming soundtrack stuff, that's the nice thing is that it can be, depending on the scene, it can be any style. But we basically started as a touring band. I mean, we stopped counting at 3,000 concerts in Europe, and we've released, I think, 12 CDs. So we've done a lot of band stuff before we started making movies. And it was a natural next step because I was writing plays. I was a playwright, and I was a director of voiceover and things like that. And I was also an editor for MTV on the Osbourne show. Some of you might remember the Osbournes.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these elements were together, coming together, and then we thought, let's start making movies. So this is our fifth feature film, Go With the Flow is our fifth feature film. And it's been a really nice integration between the music and the movies.
Wonderful. Yeah. Now, so it's kind of an acoustical, unplugged type feel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's really, really fun to play acoustic, unplugged, especially in the cinemas, because, you know, we started touring clubs and festivals, playing in the streets. We've played everywhere. You name it, we've played it. But now, we especially like to tour going from art house cinema to art house cinema, and we'll play a concert unplugged right in the cinema. And it's really a nice, intimate way to hear music, a nice way to connect with the audience. And then we'll, you know, talk about how we made the film and watch the film with the audience. And it's so wonderful as a filmmaker to get to watch your film with so many audiences. It's a great way for a filmmaker to learn, you know, to see what works and doesn't work. And as Michael mentioned, since he's also the editor, he could, you know, he can keep changing the movie to get it right.
Yeah,
so we've been privileged to watch it with audience after audience.
It's the ideal test screening thing to go on tour with your film, because by the fifth or sixth screening in different audiences, you adjust the jokes, you know, the timing between jokes and things to make it really play well. So it's a nice way to go.
Absolutely. And, you know, two very talented individuals you guys are. And again, I producer Robin Rosencrantz and writer-director Michael Glover. The movie is called Go With La Flow. If you're in Prescott, check it out this evening. I'm sure that we will hear more about it, you know, as you said, with the festival itself. And we'd love to have you in studio with us if you're here.
Sounds great. And we can play a couple of songs, too, while we're there.
Yeah, we'd love that.
We'd love that. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment. Best of luck with the screening this evening.
Thanks a lot.
Guys. Okay. Take care.
Now
have
get some sleep.
Yes.
Thanks.
Enjoy.
Ciao.
No, they slept on the plane, they said. Okay. They're okay.
He did say they were jet lagged, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing as no sleep, or is that just no time?
Well, it's the time difference, but you just kind of feel that tiredness, even if you slept on the plane. When I went to China, when I went to Beijing, I was exhausted for that first day. I just felt like I wasn't all together. And then once I slept fully in a bed and woke up, even when you're in the lay-down seats, you know, if you travel in first class, even in those, you feel somewhat refreshed, but the time difference is so huge between China and here.
Yeah, when you have to travel from one continent to another, it's a much bigger deal than just flying from state to state.
Is it more than 24 hours?
No, it's about
just
12.
Kidding.
Well, I went, it was 12 to, I think my flight was like 14 hours.
It can't be more than 24 hours.
I know, but the time, but even the day changes.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could rain? Okay.
24 is coming back in another week.
I'm so excited.
Movie?
I love 24, the TV show.
Oh, with Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Is he a keeper?
Kiefer Sutherland. I don't know. I guess not, according to some of his past loves.
Did you know that Dave calls his father Ronald Sutherland?
Okay.
Yes.
And there's an entire family who will not be on Breakthrough.
I call him Ronald McDonald, not Sutherland.
Okay.
Back to you, Joseph.
You don't like people with red hair?
I love Kiefer
yes.
Sutherland,
Joe,
and I love
Joe,
24. Joe, I like
Joseph
Touch,
the
too.
Joke.
I enjoyed Touch that he was in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did an excellent job in that.
I enjoyed the first season, and then I kind of lost interest.
But. Of Touch?
Speaking of Kiefer.
Touch.
You know what I like? I'm curious if Joseph liked it. I've been meaning to ask you for 2 years. Phone Booth.
Yes, I love Phone Booth.
Okay, I did as well, yes.
And I said it earlier, yippee-ki-yay, and yippee-ki-yay.
And then a bad word.
And then a bad word.
And this is how it goes, so.
Okay, well, anyway, the movie is called Die Hard, and this is Ode to Joy by Beethoven. It's another one of those safe, cracking movies.
A lot of Bruce Willis talk today.
Yes, a lot of Bruce Willis talk today.
And there's a movie you're going to review with Alan Rickman, speaking of Die Hard. Yes.
Yeah, and there's
great actor.
There's some heists in there, so we'll talk about that probably after the break.
And we'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Money, get away, get a good job with good pay, and you're okay. Money,
Another money song, Joseph?
Well, yeah. If we're talking about cracking safes, what's in a lot of those safes?
Jewelry.
And?
Bonds. No, stocks.
Yeah. And important papers. Birth certificates.
And drugs, too. Drugs, yes. Out,
oh,
right?
I haven't heard about that one. Drugs are in safes? Oh.
Yes. What does it all boil down to?
Eggs.
Wow, way to mess up a song.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, this song, I am all mixed around here. And
Velvet Revolver, Joseph.
Very good. Thank you very much. Velvet Revolver, you were talking about it earlier. Italian Job. Money. Italian Job. Mark Wahlberg. This one's Mark Wahlberg.
Yes, I got it wrong. Gregory corrected me.
Gregory.
I'm going to ask, is Trisha's mic on? Because I can't hear a word she's saying.
I can't
saying.
Hear her.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure. Because yeah, I thought it was, but
me.
I thought it was just my headset. So I'm just making sure. But
my bad.
The Italian Job.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Yeah, I loved
the remake I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen the one from Dave's time. But
right, nor have I.
The one's fantastic.
No, that wasn't filmed.
Most of Mark Wahlberg's movies are pretty good.
My time, they had the radio broadcasts.
Okay.
Yeah, that one.
Well, anyway, so it's another one of those safe-cracking movies. We are talking all about them today in honor of Dom Hemingway.
You know what just popped in my mind?
Oh,
it's scary.
Yeah, what?
Water for Elephants. Did you like that movie?
I love that movie.
So did I. Thank you.
It was on my best list.
Thank you. I appreciate it because I liked it too.
Okay, very random. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, let's talk about another movie that that came out yesterday. Two more. There's two movies actually that star Colin Firth.
The Railway Man and Gambit.
Yes.
Is he the Firth one?
Yeah, let's talk about the Firth one.
That's
the Firth
easy
one,
for you to say.
The Firth one is The Railway Man. Colin Firth plays a former British officer. Oh, see? Colin Firth plays a former British Army officer who, having been tormented as a prisoner of war at a Japanese labor camp during World War II, discovers that the man responsible for much of his treatment is still alive and sets out to confront him. So another one of those movies that sounds or feels like it's got a lot of meaning.
All I
at least
say
from
is
the trailer,
Nicole
too,
Kidman.
Right? Nicole Kidman, that's all you could say, huh?
No, it's another. You took it right out of my mouth. Another film of meaning, revenge, hatred, holding on. But maybe a very significant movie. It looks good. I would probably be willing to see it, depending on what you say right now, Joseph.
Okay, before I tell
it's
you...
It's all up to you.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
A lot of pressure. Before I say what I thought of the movie, when you said you took it right out of my mouth, I saw a girl take gum right out of a guy's mouth last night.
How?
Yes.
With yes.
No hands.
With her tongue.
With her tongue.
She took it right out of his mouth.
Well, that's better
that's
than pulling it off
though.
The bottom of a
yeah,
table.
Well...
that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's better when
I thought you were going to say like she stuck the hand in
no,
there, but the
no, this,
thing we've seen quite a bit.
No, this was Leslie Mann, but anyway.
Yeah?
She looked just like Leslie
really?
Mann.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, so let me tell you about the... I'm just... Sorry. Random enlightenments, right? if the railway man were a train, it would be one that chugs along at the tracks, along the tracks at a pace that could be bested by a handicapped sloth that has been... dunked in molasses. This is a very slow movie, which is really sad. But you got two really talented stars in this movie,
mm-hmm.
and as you said, with Colin Firth and
Nicole Kidman.
we joke, and because it's such a sad movie too, because it deals with such serious issues.
Oh.
But you know, the star power. You know, along with this really meaningful movie, it struggles to work up enough steam to pique moviegoers' interest, much less keep it for its two-hour runtime. You know, it doesn't do justice to a man whose story is at the center of it while bouncing back and forth between the past and the present. I'm giving it a thumbs down. It was just like...
Four thumbs down today and one thumbs up.
Yeah, well, we got one more movie to talk about.
And one gum without hands.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know we got a couple other movies, actually, because we're going to return to Dom Hemingway in our last segment, and I know you're going to give us your thoughts on...
and there's still Gambit.
Brick Mansion.
Brick Mansions, but...
That's right.
So, thumbs down to Colin Firth in The Railway
Man. Is that his fourth thumbs down?
No, I've given
He's
Colin
had
Firth
other
a lot
thumbs
of thumbs
down.
Down. But let's see if Gambit, our second Colin Firth movie, is any better. And this one we can joke around with because it is a comedy. It's a comedy caper, a comedic caper. He plays an art curator who decides to seek revenge on his abusive boss, played by Alan Rickman, by conning him into buying a fake Monet. Not money. Monet.
Monet.
Yes.
A painting.
Haystacks. Have you ever seen Monet's haystacks?
Oh, they're good with syrup.
Okay. All right. And however, his plan requires the help of an eccentric and unpredictable Texas rodeo queen, played by Cameron Diaz, with an accent.
So here we go.
And
what
so
am I going to tell you?
Well, this is, well, first of all, this is a remake of a, I think it was in the 60s. Did you ever see Gambit, Eric?
I remember the title.
Michael
I'm not sure
Caine
if I saw it.
And Shirley MacLaine.
Not sure if I saw it.
Okay, all right. I've never seen it, and you know, so this was written by the Coen brothers. Of course, we know them from a lot of great movies.
No Dumb and Dumber.
Old Men, Dumb and Dumber, yes. And, you know, a lot of great movies.
Very similar movies, those two.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And,
can't even say it.
Right. Dave, what'd you think of the trailer?
And here's my commentary.
Yes.
Looks silly, however, with possibilities because of the cast. I'm a big fan of all three of those great actors, especially Alan Rickman.
Yes.
And that's why I say possibilities because of the cast, but it looks awfully silly. Something I'd probably be bored, but if it was better than the trailer, then because of the cast, I might like it. What say you?
Bored with silly, but usually you like that type of stuff. I'm very confused by this
guy. Well, why, if it's silly, why would you be bored? I'm just curious.
Because it was silly. It looks like silly slapstick.
So, like not intelligent or...
You know.
Three Stooges?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think I get bored.
Okay.
But I might be wrong.
You don't like the Three Stooges?
Joseph liked this one.
But, well, there's a lion in the movie.
Okay. There's a what?
A lion.
Then that would make a difference.
This would make this Academy Award...
Does a lion have teeth and have gum in his mouth? And did the lioness take it out without its paw?
Both people had teeth, by the way. I wasn't like...
Oh.
I weren't hillbillies?
Yeah, I wasn't... I'm not going to say this... place that I was thinking of, but I don't want to offend anyone.
Maybe they were cousins.
Cameron.
That's how relatives exchange gum.
Yeah.
Kissing cousins.
I'd exchange gum with Cameron Diaz.
Ooh. Okay, I might do that.
I would
too.
I
mean, no. You would too.
No.
Would you exchange gum with Ethan Embry?
Who's Ethan?
That was the other guy. All right.
Of course not.
Leslie Mann and Ethan Embry traded gum. Well, anyway.
Oh.
A lot of Ethan Embry talk. I'm still trying to figure out why he changed his last name.
We don't know. We don't know. We've got to have him on live one time so you
That'd
can
be
ask
great.
Him that. Yeah.
You mean he's dead?
What?
He said you want to have him on live.
Oh,
so he's,
gosh.
Okay. Right. Cameron Diaz. Where was I? Anyway, Cameron Diaz plays that rodeo queen, and so she's got to, you know, kind of tame that lion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to reveal too much about the movie.
Look too silly. Am I right?
That's one of the more interesting scenes in this very middling movie. It fails to arouse any excitement or enthusiasm from its viewers. You know, this is, again, it's a remake of a 1960s movie by the same title. It would pass for entertainment had it been released in the mid-90s. But the ho-hum humor is exceptionally disappointing given the level of talent involved both in front and behind the camera. You've got a great cast here. We mentioned Colin Firth and Cameron Diaz.
No.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
Yes.
Stanley Tucci. Tucci.
Yes. Tucci. Double yes.
He's you know what? He's an Academy Award winner, and he never really gets any leading parts.
No one talks about him. Probably in the top three of underrated actors. He does everything, too.
So, again, a great cast. Yeah. And then, again, you've got Joel and Ethan Coen.
Yes.
They pen the screenplay, but it's a very stock screenplay. It was it was just like...
I was right, wasn't I?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. This movie was made several years ago, and they're just now releasing it. And it's like very much under their radar, and so it's a really shame. It's a real big shame that this movie was not wonderful, because it does look silly, but Greg and I like that kind of stuff, but it's not silly enough.
But Colin Firth
type of
was good.
Silly in a very generic way.
Yes.
Colin Firth was good in Love Actually.
He's usually good in anything.
And Mamma Mia.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan was good in Mamma Mia as well.
Right? That was really good.
Did you say Pierce Brosnan looked good in Mamma Mia?
Looked good, no.
Oh, I thought that's what you said.
No. Are you mistaking me?
I thought that's what you said. I wasn't questioning
that. And Alan Rickman's best acting performance, where?
Remember I said I had a headset issue, though.
Die Hard.
Oh, Rickman. Yeah, he's
really
good.
Really good.
A lot of Bruce Willis talk today.
Yeah, but that was very good.
Bruce Willis. Right.
Booth will.
Are we done with that now? Okay.
Anyway. Alexander Graham Booth.
So, again, Gambit, I'm giving it a thumbs down. So,
five thumbs down.
Yeah,
no,
that's
six.
A lot of thumbs.
No, I think you're at six
I
now.
Don't even know how many. I've lost count.
The one thumbs
only
up.
One
the
thumbs
only
up.
Movie that's worth
Which one
seeing.
Was that?
The, Dom Hemingway.
Dom Hemingway. Yeah.
And that's gotten two thumbs up so far. We're going to find out in like a half an hour if Trisha gave
hour.
It a thumbs up as well. We're going to make everyone wait.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to make, suspense. Yeah. Suspense.
Bum, bum, bum.
A lot
bum.
Writing on that.
It's called a cliffhanger.
Yeah, okay.
A cliffhanger.
So that's but, just alone.
But right now, I want to hear if what Dave thought of Brick Mansions. Let me remind people of what the movie is about.
I don't
about.
Get to say what I thought about
You
it?
Saw it too?
Of course.
I didn't know you saw
oh,
it.
Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Well, don't you guys typically see movies together?
Yes, when I'm in town.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, we saw it last night.
I'm sure.
Yeah. That's odd that you guys are married and you live in two different states.
Yeah, we're planning on three different states soon.
Uh-oh. Wow. Okay. Greg, you're moving? All right. So Paul Walker, one of his last roles, plays an undercover Detroit cop who navigates a dangerous neighborhood that is surrounded by a containment wall with the help of an ex-con in order to bring down a crime lord and his plot to devastate the entire city. Dave, Trisha, you are our film critics today, our film columnists today. What'd you think of Brick Mansions?
All right. We could do a half a review.
Are you kidding
Between
me?
Us.
Are you kidding me?
And then we have a full brain.
Now, I will tell you, when it first started out, I had to walk out and look at the theater to make sure that I was in the right movie, because some of the moves that were happening were so much like The Amazing Spider-Man, but he wasn't in costume.
And there's no spider web stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but he was like flipping around and doing all this. I liked. There were some phenomenal stunt people in this yeah. movie. Very fast action.
Like Fast and the Furious. Similar movie.
Similar as far as the action. It's just nonstop action. Mm-hmm. And then the maneuvering and the stunts that were done by the stunt person at the very beginning when he's being chased. Like I said, it was like something out of Spider-Man. He's up on the walls.
Gymnastics
and he's doing all
type.
This. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Very unbelievable. But
then we stopped kissing and saw the movie.
This is interesting how she's saying something, and then all of a sudden you make a comment. So it definitely feels like a half a review. So what happened?
Well, the reason is because it was late at night. I was up early. You've been up since 1942.
I've been up all night.
She never sleeps. And there were sleeping moments.
Really? Okay.
It wasn't because of the movie.
They slept together in the movie theater.
Yes, we did.
We talked with our movie theater owner guy. He says that happens all the time.
Oh, that is awful.
Yeah.
So were you, when you say he's jumping and running around, and you're talking about parkour?
No, me.
No, that's what that's called when you're doing the freestyle running and jumping. It's called parkour.
Against the walls and
yes.
everything.
Oh, yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, it was like ninja-esque and Spider-Man-esque.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And very very creative. The things he does with the escape ladder and things like that are incredible.
Very good scene.
Just the sequencing of it, I mean, I was very, very, very impressed by the stunt coordinator and by the stuntman. That was very, very excellent. It was more action than storyline.
Thank you. And the movie was, too.
Well, okay. And so ultimately, are you able to say what I... You're squeaking. Your chair is too excited.
He's when he
laughing.
Laughs,
he's laughing so
noise
hard.
Comes out, but he goes up and down, up and down.
Here's my question. Here's my question.
Look at the ceiling.
When you fell asleep during this movie,
part of it,
you gave some good feedback about the movie that you it was exciting.
Well, fast action,
but is
good
it,
character development, good guy versus bad. A little cheesy at parts. Some of the action parts I thought were a little. Not as good special effects that you've seen in other movies. But what I did see, I would probably give it a thumbs up because I think Paul Walker played a great character, a good guy. He's known as a good guy. And the other guy, that his partner, really excellent, just excellent actor, just a really
David
good
Bell.
Chemistry between the two. And I like that.
Mm-hmm. The chemistry was interesting. When we say, he said thumbs up.
Okay.
Well, what I saw.
And
but.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the thing is, when he says similar to Fast and Furious, the action.
A lot and car action
was,
too.
Yeah, there was a lot of action, which I really enjoyed as well. I'm a thumbs up, but
okay.
I'm a hesitant thumbs up only because of the fact that I felt like the storyline wasn't as well developed. But again, with the sleeping moment, I may have missed something.
And I didn't know you were sleeping.
I know. I really didn't know I was sleeping either.
Because I was sleeping. I was sleeping, so I didn't know who was sleeping.
Now,
but lots of people, because you know I always like to hear what people say as they're exiting. Lots of people, wow, that was a great movie.
Yeah, so, the other 10 that were in the movie.
It was a late night movie. It started after 10 p.m. It started after 10 p.m. And so it wasn't as well attended as it may have been. But yeah. It ended up, was good. It ended up being about 15, 20
people. Have you ever tried popcorn
least.
Sleeping? Anyway.
Popcorn. What does popcorn do when it's sleeping? All right. So here's the thing, though. I really want to see Brick Mansion.
I think you should.
I'm a huge fan of Paul Walker, so I'll see it eventually, and I'll see if I am able to stay awake. But I want you guys to respect the film columnist of Breakthrough Entertainment, who has to see so many movies like The Retrieval and Walking with the Enemy and Gambit.
And you're able to stay awake.
And I stay awake through all of them.
Oh, what?
I have so much respect for you.
I really do.
Thank you.
And I couldn't believe I fell asleep, because like I said, it is nonstop action. But I had been up for like 48 hours, and so
we were dedicated. We gave it a best shot. We saw most of the movie.
Now you might know, I don't remember the name of this movie, but it was made by the guy who made the Teletubbies. It was a movie. It was a kids' movie. It was very much like the Teletubbies. These weird creatures jumping up and down. It was like for the preschool crowd, and you were supposed to sing along to it and everything. There was a screening of it. I'm not going to say this member of the press, a friend of mine, but he kept falling asleep during the movie. And there was these sing-alongs where all the kids would say, "Okay, sing now!" And this member of the press...
How do you sing if you don't know the song?
Well, they would put the lyrics on the bottom of the screen.
Still, you don't know the melody.
It'll be off-key.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll have the director perfect. On. It's a kids' movie.
He's on the line right now.
I know. Well, anyway, this guy kept waking up in the most like horrific fashion. Like, I mean, whenever
children screaming,
yeah, and it was hilarious to watch. The movie was horrible, but I think I might have gave it a thumbs up just because I got to watch this.
That was the most entertaining part of the movie.
It was one of the most entertaining things, and but anyway,
but yes. So I the first time when we were at the snack bar on our way in getting our popcorn, Amelia, awesome, I like you, you're cool. And she got along with me very well, because I said, "Yeah, we're going to go. Have you seen Brick House?"
They both start
and
singing,
we start singing the song.
Both of
like
them.
A brick.
She was the person behind the candy bar.
She's mad.
The person behind the candy bar. We talked to him last week. Oh no,
who was
the person behind the candy factory?
Store.
Yeah.
David Klein.
Oh, the candy store.
Did your beans arrive yet?
So
by the
Brick
way?
Mansions. No.
Oh, okay.
What?
They didn't. And you know why?
Did you buy them, or was it a freebie?
No, I forgot to order them all the way. It's sitting there in my shopping cart. I got distracted. I have a little bit of JADD, Jelly Bean Attention Deficit Disorder.
Oh, yeah, we didn't buy those.
I know, we had them all ready to go, and then
Dave
I forgot.
Dave has regular ADD.
So guess what? After at the break, we're going to,
All right. Well, speaking of breaks, this is a wonderful song from The Lady Killers, another movie by the Coen Brothers, right?
The Coen Brothers.
Yeah.
That's corny.
Let your light shine on me by the Venice Four.
Let's do this one. We don't have a half a pass.
It's like Tom Hanks.
Well, this is because we're in church, right?
How does it go, though?
Shine on me. Let it shine
on me.
Oh, Lord. Let it shine
on me.
Come on, Lord.
We're handling snakes in here.
Shine on me.
Shine on me. Yeah.
Shine on me.
Come on, Lord.
Come on.
We got the Lord in the studio right now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Shine on me.
Yeah. We got the Lord.
Come on now. All right. Shine on me.
Okay, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Lord.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix. Thank you.
was a night before Christmas, and all through the house, Joseph was dancing with a little mouse.
With a little mouse?
But then out came...
A very big mouse.
With Colin Firth.
Colin Firth.
And the mouse snuck up and went from behind on Richard Gere.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And then Santa came and saved the
day. And then Jodie Foster got locked in a panic room.
That rumor is still going around?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, it's a rumor? I thought it was true.
Yeah, I sold them the gerbils.
Was that from Tower Heist?
No, I just said...
Tower Heist.
No, I just said the name of the movie. Jodie Foster.
Oh, that's from Panic Room.
Panic Room, yes.
The most creative opening credits of all time. Remember those opening credits?
I loved the show Panic Room.
I thought it was a good movie.
They showed the city, and then the like each person's name was in 3D.
Was Kristen Stewart in that one when she was young?
Yes, Kristen Stewart.
All right. I think I saw part of it.
That's when she was still a boy.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a girl now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, she changed over.
I loved that movie. I thought it was excellent.
Yes.
Twilight, yeah.
And of course, Jared Leto was in it too, right?
No, I know.
Yeah, he was.
Oh,
he's
what an actor. Phenomenal.
Yeah, and in Panic Room, I mean, you can't get
better
more,
than that.
Well, yeah, better than that, more thrilling, but also, I mean, if we're talking about locked safes and cracking those safes, you know, you got to crack into that panic room. Now, you can't be any more thrilling than that, right?
Yes, that was suspenseful. But, you know, that's similar to what our guest. I mean, getting into one of those panic rooms is going to be very similar to getting into a bank vault. I mean, it's not like a simple safe cracker.
Yeah, you can't shake that.
No, you can't shake. Can't bump it either.
No. Shaking, bumping, grind.
Bouncing. That, he didn't say bump. He said bouncing.
Oh,
bouncing and shaking.
Because
I was
thinking bump and grind.
A big congratulations
to Jodie Foster. Well, that's just a magic mic.
Yes. She got married to her partner, Alexander Hedson. So, good for
congratulations.
Absolutely.
Wow.
What? Throw the rice.
Yeah, and you know what gets me too? I mean, just about Jodie Foster is so many people, they're child actors and then they lose it.
And she
has gone on to be a phenomenal actor through her adulthood and director. And he just said she got married, and that's congratulations to Jodie Foster. That's awesome. I couldn't be happier for her.
And that's the reason for our listeners, because we're still doing our behind the scenes radio stuff. Eric didn't know that Greg had said that because he was busy.
Oh, you just said that?
Yeah, well, you were busy doing our behind the scenes dirty work, bringing on our next special guest, actress Tana Frederick. Her movie is called The M Word. Tana, we spoke with you a few months ago, and now the movie's coming out. It's such an honor to have you back on the show.
Thanks so much for having me on the show again. I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
Absolutely, and I know that Dave is a big fan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and let me tell our listeners a little bit about the film, and then we'll ask you some questions about it. You play an actress who becomes the leader of a group of women who want their demands met by their new boss. You get unexpected support from the older women in your family, but your relationship with your longtime boyfriend is forever altered by your activism. Tell us a little bit about where this movie came from, because this is basically your baby, right?
Actually, it's more Henry's baby, because, I mean, he's the consummate purveyor of all women's issues, you know, and he's a mastermind at it. And so since I've met him, this is my sixth film with Henry Jaglom, and since I've known him, he's been eating, going shopping, a movie called Baby Fever. These are all films in his oeuvre, you know, if you will, and he covers women's issues just beautifully. And this, he's wanted to do a film about menopause ever since I've met him, and I haven't gone through that lovely period in life yet, but I do have I have experienced, as every woman has, really bad cramps. And so Henry just wanted to make a film. He wanted to make a film about menopause and menstruation in men. And the M Word is about those three topics, which is so healthy and so wonderful to be in a film that covers a taboo subject that nobody wants to talk about. And women feel somewhat ashamed by, which is just, I haven't gone through it, so I don't know, but it's just one of those things people don't talk about. And so to be able to cover it with Michael Imperioli and Frances Fisher, and I heard your guys shout out to Jodie Foster. I mean, she's amazing, but she's on the movie, but it's like amazing actresses like Eliza Roberts and Frances Fisher are in this movie, and it's Mary Crosby. It's a great cast full of talented actors.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm curious, Tana, you said that you haven't gone through that menopause, that stage in life yet, where does the acting come from? Or is that just acting then? I mean, how do you prepare for that?
Mary, actually, my Frances Fisher plays my mother, and she thinks that Gregory Harrison plays my stepfather is cheating on her. So she comes to move into my one-bedroom apartment, and I am running a private small station, TV station, which, you know, those are going all but extinct now, and there's been a lot of downsizing in across the country and in real life with the smaller stations, just because there isn't a lot of funding, you know, for indie stations anymore. And so my mother, played by Frances Fisher, moves in. She's going through menopause, and then Mary Crosby and her sisters, Mary Crosby and Eliza Roberts, follow suit, move into my house, and so the three of them are going through menopause while I am going through a hellish PMS period, and trying to deal with the love triangle between the wonderful, amazing actor Michael Imperioli and Corey Feldman, who is just, again, both of them are just comedic and dramatic geniuses. Corey's very funny, and speaking of child actors, it was amazing to work with him. It's amazing to watch Corey navigate himself through adulthood so beautifully when I know he's been under so much duress as, you know, growing up in the industry. It's just, it's incredible when you talk about child actors, talking about Corey Feldman's career. It's just, I have a lot of respect for both he and Michael. They're amazing. I was lucky to work with them.
Tana, this is Dave Isaac. In about 10 years ago, maybe even longer, could have been 15 years ago, I saw a play called Menopause. It's very popular, a big run out, I know, in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I think did that have any influence with you or the writer on this particular movie?
Absolutely. That actually is kind of something that the movie was based off of, because it's called, I think what you saw probably was Menopause Musical.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, and I actually did this really funky two-person show at the Coronet Theater out here above the theater in which Menopause Musical was playing. So I could hear, for like 7 months, I was doing this really weird, non-popular A.R. Gurney two-person film. It was directed by a Serbian director, so it was very experimental. And then below me, I'm hearing masses of women screaming about these songs that are made up about, you know, basically they take 50 songs, 60 songs. They take yeah, covers and then write them about menopause. It's so funny, and women come out of there laughing, screaming, like just loving it. And so, but there's no films about that. So we have Menopause Musical, which is going around the country, and then There's no film or television really that covers the topic of menopause, and so this movie is, I hope, going to be somewhat like a musical, and so far it's been really great because women come out of there totally come out of the film laughing, really loving it, and even their husbands and kids, and I mean it's just very pro. It really opens up and explores the older woman's psyche as she's going through, and for better or for worse, there are a lot of women in the film who are not enjoying menopause. Well, some do enjoy menopause, and some who just abhor it. So you're looking at all different aspects of women's, you know, lives during this period.
Well, and I think being able to use humor and to have this in the theaters, it actually opens men's eyes, too, to something that is kind of a taboo subject. I mean, women don't like to talk about it to men. We talk about it to each other and everything, you know, and it's like, oh, turn on the AC, I'm hot. And then it's like, oh, I'm cold, you know. And Dave gets a kick out of me. I was thrust into it because I was surgically had issues, and so I ended up having to go through it early with the surgery. But he laughs every once in a while because I'll be just I'm so hot, and I'll just pull off the covers, and I can't snuggle. I'm too hot. And then the next thing I know, I'm snuggling, and I'm covering myself up. I'm too cold. So he just laughs, but he's one of those guys that is also very, very much into empowerment of women and respectful of women. And I just think it's awesome that you guys have that tone here, and you're able to bring the comedy in so that we can laugh at it. Because you know what? This is a fact of life. It's something that
really
all
is.
Of us will end up going through. And you know,
not
the men
me.
And the men in our lives. Well, yes, you will, because Kathleen will eventually when she gets older.
I mean, it starts with the word men.
Exactly.
It's menopause, menstruation. There's one of those funny e-cards. I did this daytime show in Florida a couple weeks ago for the movie, and they pulled out these e-cards, and it said menopause, menstruation, all of these women's biological issues that start with the word men, and it's like, why are men at the root of all women's problems?
Exactly.
It was very funny, but you know, I'm not a self-proclaimed feminist. I grew up with eight aunts, and so I've been around women and their issues and my issues and all of that good stuff. I mean, it's just, I really hope men relate to the film too, and they really seem to dig this film because it's also about protecting the smaller jobs, which are, I mean, it's such a prevalent issue in the United States right now, is the downsizing of all of these jobs and corporations and, you know, people being out of work. And so this is kind of the first of Henry Jaglom's films that also touches on the socioeconomic issues of what's going on in society right now, where my character stands up and says, let's not lose ourselves has a very Norma Rae moment, which was really fun to play and interesting, and says, let's not lose our jobs, you know, and all these women who, Mike Imperioli made up this great line, because, you know, some of Henry's films are, part of Henry's films are improvised, and Michael made up this great line, and he said, everything has a shelf life, and when milk has an expiration date, you can drink a little after, but you know, mostly, you know, when you're supposed to throw it away. And he says this about all the, what his character says about women and their jobs, and it's, you can hear every woman and man in the audience gasp and be like, he did not just say that. That's so wrong. But it's, but yeah, it's a beautiful, wonderful, funny film. And I think it's liberating to laugh through these life issues. And I think that it's really a healthy way that Henry plays up women and their lives, because he's not, the film isn't making a comment against these women. It's like more as if you're a fly on the wall watching these women's situations and you're laughing along with them and their trials and tribulations. I mean, Frances Fisher is incredibly sexy, and she's the one through this, and brilliant actress, and the closest thing we have to Lucille Ball, you know, and better in her own way, and she's going through menopause, and she makes it look sexy and fun, and it's not like, you know, it's not like Menopause Musical, where women are in purple dresses and red hats. Frances Fisher in leather boots, wearing a tight leopard skin dress, going through her emotions and dealing with menopause. It's a sexy, wonderful take on life in that period.
And you know, and I think that's awesome. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And this, and the fact that it is such a well-rounded show, because you know what, this menopause and menstruation and all the things that women go through, we go through that while we're going through life, and the men in our lives go through that while we're going through life. Life doesn't stop. So I love the way that they have the social aspect and everything else. And it sounds to me like a wonderful, must-see movie.
It is. And men do go through it. So that's why I'm giving props to men. I hope that when I talk to my dad, who makes a cameo in the movie, it's really great. He and I have a scene about him going through Vietnam. And, you know, that's somewhat true to life, and him telling me to keep up the good fight. Very lovely scene. But when I asked him in preparation for this movie, I said, you know, what would you go through with mom? Like, what happened? You guys never talked to me about menopause or what you went through. And my dad was just like, oh, I thought she was always mad at me. I would go on drives because I thought your mom didn't want me in the house, you know? And so my parents, they never talked about that, but hopefully this movie provides a little bit of insight into that, and men feel
Gregory Harrison does a great speech saying, you women think you have the corner on aging with menopause and all this stuff. Well, men go through it too. We have our midlife crisis. We need to feel relevant. And so I hope it appeals to all, both sexes, all ages. It's just a very funny, relevant movie.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, again, Tana Frederick, we want to thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment to talk about the M-Word. When does it come out? And do you know where?
Yes, it opens in theaters April 30th. It was next Friday. Not April 30th yet. It opens in theaters next Friday,
okay,
both in New York and Los Angeles. And then we go into Arizona and Phoenix and other small art theaters across the country. And then they're playing for a nice 3 to 6 months there. So wherever your local art house theater is, check out the M Word. It will slowly be coming to a theater near you, and inevitably coming to a theater near you, just like menopause does. So
you never know exactly when it's going to hit you.
Right. Well, I certainly can't wait to see it, and so we'll be talking more about it in the coming weeks. So again, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great afternoon.
Thanks, guys. You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
She was delightful.
Yes. Yeah. So we
play was
and she
too.
Laughed at all your jokes.
She did. I couldn't believe it.
Very nice of her. Very polite.
Yes, yes.
And I'm having a hot flash.
A hot flash. Uh-oh. Get your hot flashes here, by the way.
Okay. Well, while Tricia has her hot flash during our break, we will go
and
into
I'm
it.
I'm having a flashback.
Okay. The Four Tops will take us into our break from Blood Simple. It's the same old song.
Same old
Blood
song.
Simple, a Coen Brothers movie as well.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So it's the same
I
old
saw
song.
That.
Awesome song that plays at the end of the
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah, at the end of the movie.
The closing credits.
Closing credits, yeah. Great movie.
Makes you want to get up and dance.
Oh, song.
Bum, bum.
But it's a different beat since you've been gone.
It's a different
same.
Meaning.
Oh, song. Oh.
I think Greg has learned to bum. Tune this out.
It's the same.
We gotta form a group like the Four Tops.
Oh, we wanted to, didn't we?
Barbershop Quartet.
Oh, that's yeah, right. Let's do that.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Remember the day you up and left. I nearly cried myself to death.
Oh, yeah.
And then I met someone else.
A bum 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 bum. That doesn't go with it. Hey, you're good. Joseph.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing fine now.
Louder.
Oh,
yeah. We're supposed to be singing, too. How about Eric? Do you sing?
I'm doing fine.
I would if I knew the song.
Oh, can you go bum 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 bum? Good. I like it. Oh, you're good at this.
Oh, sorry.
And this is Breakthrough. Yeah, Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and Tricia. And what song is that?
I'm doing fine now.
Oh, that's what it's called?
By New York City. It's from the movie that Greg has been saying that every song is from, and he's taking a break at the moment. The movie is called Tower Heist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Took place on Thanksgiving Day. Of course, they had to break a lot of stuff out of that bank that they were in.
Like a car was on.
Yeah, there was a car.
And, something.
Yeah, and I think Gabrielle Sibide, Precious. She
Precious?
Was a safe cracker.
Oh.
Yeah. Right, Precious. Remember Precious?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does Polly want?
What?
A cracker.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh.
Polly went a cracker.
I did not get that.
Eric, that's very good. Very good. Okay, back to Joseph. By the way, when I call you, it says Joseph J. Ardo.
Erdo. It does not say Ardo.
Okay, sorry.
If it says Erdo. Ardo.
But you have Jay. What's Jay stand for?
It says, what, Jay? John.
Oh, John.
Yes.
Hi, John.
Not Jay John, but John.
Oh, Jay John.
Joseph John.
Yeah.
JJ. We could call you JJ.
I should change my... Yeah.
Yeah, John John.
I should change my my voicemail to say, hello, and thank you for calling Joseph J. Erdo.
That movie
if
phone.
If you know the name of the radio show you'd like to hear, dial in 1480 KPHX.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good.
Yes.
Very good.
Okay.
You do that voice so well.
Thank you very much.
So have we gone through all the movies?
Well, we went through all the movies, but we want to return to the reason that we are here today.
Oh, for...
And that reason is Dom Hemingway.
To honor Eric?
To honor Eric. What? Yeah. What are we honoring?
First time I heard of it.
Happy birthday to you.
It's not my birthday.
Oh, it's not?
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow.
Hello.
That makes more sense.
Okay, that's enough brown nosing now.
Okay.
Where's next?
Oh, I can never get enough of that.
Well, the movie
we love, Eric.
The movie that we were celebrating, the man we were celebrating was Eric Reinert, but the movie we were celebrating was Dom Hemingway. And let me remind you what the movie's about. You and I, Dave and I, gave Dom Hemingway big thumbs up. We saw it at the Phoenix Film Festival. It came out yesterday. We're highly recommending everyone to go see it. Now we want to see what Trisha thinks. But let's tell our listeners again about the movie. Jude Law plays a notorious safecracker, which is why we're talking about safecracking movies today, who after spending 12 years in prison for keeping his mouth shut, is back on the streets of London looking to collect what he is owed. Again, we gave it two big thumbs up, and we're waiting for that third. Trisha, do we get it?
Maybe.
Uh-oh, maybe.
Maybe.
What? Well, okay. My son saw it at Fox Studio right before at a premiere that it was there. And so I'd asked him, I said, hey, what did you think of it? You know, and he's like, you know. So, but he's not a movie critic. And anyway, so it was not what I expected from a Jude Law film. The opening part of the film was very powerful.
Powerful? Is that what you call it? Thank you.
It was a very interesting
shocking.
Way. It was shocking, but it was very interesting way, and his monologue was very interesting. So knowing that the beginning was going to be something shocking, since the film writer had said his mom watched it, and he said, yes, my mother watched the first part of that show. So I was like, okay, but... I will say I was pleasantly surprised because I was expecting it to be just, you know. And Jude Law did do a wonderful, wonderful job. It's one of those people that, like you said, he's very difficult to really like, but you do, even though he is crude and he's rude and he's socially unacceptable.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would give it a thumbs up. It would not, to me, be a breakthrough. His performance would be a breakthrough. The movie itself would not be a breakthrough. But it was very interesting. I will give it a thumbs up.
Very unique appearance of the character as well, right?
Oh, very much so. Very much so, yes. And now to find out that something, when we were talking to our safecracker, that one part, which I don't want to give away too much,
yes.
but when it was stated that some safes you can actually crack by bouncing them, or jiggling or shaking them.
Jacob's Jiggler.
I was amazed. I was amazed that they were that true to the craft of safe cracking. So I give it a thumbs up.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, it's not a huge thumbs up, but it's a thumbs up.
Okay, very good. So, well, then three thumbs up for Dom Hemingway. Does it look like a movie that you want to see, Eric?
I have not seen the trailer.
Oh, okay. But you like,
I mean, listening to you guys, yeah, it sounds like something I'd watch.
You like Jude Law, right?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Excellent.
He's not like I'm not like a huge fan or anything, but he's usually good.
Yes, you are. I've seen your Jude Law appreciation room.
You saw his picture in my wallet.
I did.
just that. You haven't been to his house. You don't
wallet?
See that creepy room in his house.
Yeah, what were you doing with my wallet?
Yeah, what was he doing in your wallet?
What was I doing in his house?
I'll give it back to you right now.
What's in your wallet?
Jude Law.
Sounds illegal. Oh, Jude Law. Get a law.
And so would you be interested in seeing Dom Hemingway as well?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Good.
Not just because of the
Greg would like
guys
it.
Liking it, but it looks like the type I'd like.
Yeah.
Well, and I also forgot to mention that one of the things that, even though he is that rude, crude, socially unacceptable guy, he does some things that are very endearing in the movie that make you really like him too.
Yes.
And that was, I like that dichotomy because you get that in life. People aren't all one way or another. And so I like that. So
yeah. And in the remember his girlfriend's name was Harmony, the one that wasn't really his girlfriend, but the one they kind of learned a lot from that he's
Melody,
met later.
Melody.
Right,
yes.
She had the little music notes in her helmet
musical.
Later,
and she was just.
Oh, everything is beautiful.
Well, she had a good lesson for
but
him.
But she did have a good lesson for him. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But, it, you know, that is one way where some of the things were over the top, kind of like really, I could see that she was that type of person, but the name and the way she talked and everything just woohoo in your face over the top, but it was good.
Yes, very good. All right. So then, so again, go see Dom Hemingway. It's the only movie that we've talked about on today's show that that got any love at all.
Well, Brick Mansion.
Yeah, Brick Mansion. Brick Mansion got love.
I forgot about that.
Got
Brick
some love.
Got some love. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and
some
yeah.
love and
your
some
former
Z's
wife
as well.
Is. I mean, your future wife.
My
got
future
some
wife.
Love.
She's going to get
she
some, love.
Some love.
Oh,
she is.
Okay.
Whoa.
It was just a joke.
Okay. Breakthrough thinking.
Breakthrough thinking. Break. What break
love
into
gossip
news, break no breaking into
love
news. Anyway break. Okay well, let's move on to Greg. Did you see anything this week that you want to talk about?
I don't think I did.
No,
I did.
Oh, Eric.
Eric.
Saw a couple of really good films.
Really? What'd you see?
Odd Thomas.
Okay, you like that?
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I didn't see The End Coming, and normally I see those things because I caught it in The Sixth Sense, but not that one. And I also saw Random Acts of Violence. Have you seen that one?
I have not seen that one. I saw Odd Thomas, and I did not like that one.
But, okay, I didn't think you would.
Yeah, but I have not seen... What's...
Random Acts of Violence. It's about this guy who grew up in New York, and he's tired of the clean New York. He wants it to go back to the ways it was, so he's going to start committing crimes in order to start a revolution and get the crime going back in the city. So he goes around just offing people at will, and it's pretty entertaining.
So is it like a spoof on Random Acts of Kindness?
It's what he's doing is he's making a documentary. And so he's got cameras following him around and a director. And they're all part of this whole killing spree. And they're documenting it on film.
Isn't that what, well, not the killing part, but isn't that what you guys are going to do with me?
Yes, except we're not going to kill you, right?
Well, and and you're not going to document me killing anyone, but you'll document me doing something.
Not unless you want to.
No, thank you. That's okay. I'm good.
Doing something or someone. Now, we have but news with the new Superman Batman movie. Zack Snyder's, of course, another superhero, Cyborg, will be in it now, and it's been cast. And that should be sort of interesting that that they're kind of going that route, because I know they're talking about the whole Justice League situation. So with this, we thought it'd be, you know, just Batman Superman. It's the sequel, or at least they're saying sequel to Man of Steel. But now Ray Fisher being cast to play Victor Stone, the Cyborg, and then also Wonder Woman's going to be in this as well. So, you know, we'll see
who plays Wonder Woman.
On. That's going to be, and I just had her name, Gail Gadot, who I'm not that familiar with. I'm not sure if she's a newcomer or not. But Ray Fisher played Muhammad Ali on Broadway, and he, good up-and-coming actor, but a lot of work on Broadway. So a little bit of a difference for him. But you know what? I trust... the casting with this, I know people weren't high on Ben Affleck. I am. I think he's going to do a great job. Eric doesn't because he's shaking his head no.
Ben's in my wallet.
Wow.
Oh, he's in your wallet?
Yeah.
I've got Jude and you've got Ben.
Hey, they're both great actors. I really think Ben is a phenomenal actor, right?
Yeah, well, I think he's going to do great as Batman. Look, people didn't think Heath would do the job as the Joker. He was phenomenal, and I think Ben will do the same.
Yeah.
All right. And, of course, we also learned that they are remaking Ben-Hur. Mark Burnett, actually. But well, it sounds cool.
Mark
but
Burnett
then
from Survivor.
Mark Burnett from Survivor, which sounds cool. But then Mark Burnett, who also is responsible for the Bible, not the Bible.
Oh, I watched like two episodes of that.
Yeah,
I was done.
Yeah, so maybe Ben-Hur might not be.
No, that was originally Charlton Heston. Will they remake the Ten Commandments?
I think they should do a reality show based on the Ten Commandments or Ben-Hur.
And don't give people that idea.
What would it be like? Well, how would that work?
Don't steal it, guys.
Oh, okay, yeah. Bleep that out, bleep that out. Oh, it's too late? Oh, we're past it.
We're past the 10-second mark.
Oh, man, okay.
And then also, Wedding Crashers, of course, one of Dave's favorite movies, one of mine.
Because you two enjoy doing that as father and son?
Well, there's two people that also enjoy doing it for the first time, but were caught by the bride, and so they got into some trouble with the bride there. They were escorted out of the wedding. Now, they were nice about it. They didn't... They weren't angry, didn't start a fight. What happened was, because of all the attention it got, they contacted the bride on Facebook to apologize. And while she did accept the apology, the bride's a little upset because most of the pictures, these two individuals were in them. They had so much fun that so many of the family and friends there, that most of the wedding pictures are looking through, it has these two people. They have no idea who they are.
That's funny. Photobomb.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Good times. They photobombed the entire wedding.
Yes, but they were really respectful other than that, I hear. So
oh, hysterical.
Some good stuff.
Wow. So she didn't catch him till the end.
Or at least, way after all these good pictures.
Oh, that's funny.
And, you know, so again, today we were celebrating safe cracking movies. There's, a lot of them out there to see. We highly recommend you go see Dom Hemingway. And what?
Yes. Oh, I was going to ask, while I was away doing my business, did you talk about Tower Heist?
Yes, we did talk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you missed it.
Yeah, and that's when he goes, he's been talking about this all day. He runs out, and this is when we
And I liked it.
It was a good one. It was a good one.
I haven't liked a lot of Eddie Murphy movies since the 80s, but that was one I did.
You didn't like Dave? Was it called Dave?
The president.
You didn't like Pluto Nash?
Pluto Nash is
one of the greatest movies of our time.
I am 100% serious. I like Pluto
Oh, really?
Nash. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
But how about Steve Nash? He's running down a little bit.
Yeah.
I like Eddie Murphy. Well, I'm sorry.
And now we're
I love Eddie Murphy, yeah. But there's movies, though, since the 80s, since Beverly Hills Cop 2.
That was good.
And we're
going
to go from safe-cracking movies this week to next week. We've been talking about it for the last few weeks. We're going to be talking about...
Gigolos, right?
Gigolos.
Exactly. We're going to have on our friend Vin Armani back on Breakthrough Entertainment. It is Breakthrough Entertainment's Gigolo Show, all in honor of Fading Gigolo. That is a Woody Allen movie. He's in it. He did not write or direct it.
Is he the Fading Gigolo?
Yeah.
No.
No, he is the pimp.
Should I call in and give my review? Because I'll be at the Kentucky
Derby. Yes.
I think Dave's taking me to the Kentucky Derby just to make sure I'm not here when Vin's here.
Just to wear your Easter bonnet.
Oh, I'm inviting him. He's coming along with us.
Oh, okay.
Right. Are you guys going to eat a hot brown when you get there?
A who?
A hot brown.
What is that?
It's a sandwich that was invented for the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, maybe.
Well, then to soak up the liquor in your belly.
I think we will need to then.
Yeah.
Everybody's been telling me that I have to have a mint julep. Exactly.
But
everybody
JJ
says I got to have a mint julep and I have to have a hat.
So, I have to buy you a hat?
Yeah, a big one.
Big hat. Okay.
So stay tuned for that next week. We will have a lot of fun. Greg,
can I call in?
Yes, call in. Okay. And taking us out of the show are the Pixies singing Debaser from Dom Hemingway.
Dom Hemingway. Go see that. It's a great movie. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. I'm Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, Trisha. Stay tuned for a Real Hockey Talk starring Greg Isaac and Sebastian Noren. I'll be here as well talking about hockey playoffs.
Debaser!
We'll be right back. Debaser!